Happy E3 week. And that's pretty much it. God, this is a lot of time to fill. I hate saying the same thing over and over, even a year apart. So, that's it. It's E3 week. What else is there to say? Let's start the show.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio. We've got a lot more to say. We're live once again tonight with episode number 872 of our show for this June the 13th of 2021. I am Rob Roberts, and I am joined via Discord by my co-host. Say hello first off to the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Greetings and salivations.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am okay. I am just going into all of my various Discords and letting them know they should be listening to us.
Good, getting that promotion in.
That's what I do.
Speaking of promotion, I probably am not supposed to talk about this on air, but oops, I'll ask for forgiveness later. But I've been hearing some more Dark Sakura tunes. You sent me one this morning or yesterday, and I was like, when's the album dropping? When's the album dropping? We got to get you.
Most of the stuff I'm just doing is loops, and I just started playing around with things yesterday just to kind of futz around with a different style, and I was trying to do like this weird acoustic thing, and it turned out like all kinds of Southern rock, and my mom really likes it, so yay.
Well,
I
good.
Guess.
Good. I think a lot of people right now are streaming Solar Power by Lorde, in a few weeks.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it's a good song. They're going to be...
But, I mean, that is a bop.
This week has been a blessing in music. We had a new Marina album. We had that Kylie Lady Gaga thing, which is a gift from Gay God. We had
a
Garbage album.
That's not the only other cover.
What's that?
That's not the only cover, because someone covered the country Born This Way.
Oh, yeah. Orville Peck did that, and then Big Frida did Judas.
Big Frida. Yeah, that was so good.
That whole reimagining or whatever is going to be pretty crazy. But yeah, I was just saying, this is a great week for music. So people are satisfied with music for quite some time. Maybe more like a few months, we'll have Dark Sakura to add to that list and whatever album she ends up putting out. No pressure.
For fuck's sake.
No pressure. Hi, chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. The chat is commenting that I look a little out of focus. You know what? I bet the resolution on my camera dropped because OBS had a small update today. And every time they do that, I see that the camera settings sometimes reset. For Dark Sakura and Loki, not an issue because we capture them via Discord. So it doesn't really change. So they're just coming in from Discord. But me, I think mine reset. So I'll try to fix that. So do not adjust your sets on Twitch. I might have that whole thing I had last week where I get really big again and all that. But we'll fix all that. I also want to say
just your ego. Well,
Rob, it's just water weight.
Hey. Hi, Loki, by the way. The first words out of your mouth tonight are shade. It must be game convention week, that's for sure. Hey, I want to give a shout out in our chat because I just saw Black Compat said hi in the chat, and I want to say hi and grats right back at you, Black Compat, because, and if you don't know Black Compat, you should be following them, fix that, because Black Compat is the artist's formerly known as Electric Sisterhood, which was on the VOG network, and we go back, our little friendship goes back to All Games back in the day and all that. So friend shows for a long time. Black Compat just got the partner. Well, they're not partner yet, but they just applied for partner, but that means they met the stats and all that measurement for partner, and that's a huge accomplishment. So I just want to say congrats. And if Twitch doesn't accept you as a partner, they are dumb. So fingers and toes crossed for you guys. So just want to give that.
There's some people who shouldn't make partner who have made partners. So I will be super pissed.
Yes. I saw that Twitch drama this week. That was something. No, the lovely ladies over at Black and Pat would be a huge win for Twitch. So I hope
you listen in, Twitch admins, do it.
Yeah. All right.
And
no,
also,
no Twitch admins are listening to this show.
And also unban my friend.
All right. Loki. Hi. How are you? How's your week been?
Been pretty good.
Yeah. What do you mean up to? I see a lot of pics of the kids. What's going on and all that stuff? Did one of the kids have a birthday this week?
No. It's my youngest son's graduated from first grade, so he's now in second grade.
Oh, that's great. Wait a minute, but like it's okay. So the graduation happened this week. They don't start school until, or is it like a year round school type of thing?
Well, his school's kind of year round, but I mean, honestly, like with the stuff they're giving him a third grade work anyways, as it is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I guess he's pretty smart. So, it's kind of all year round. He's always at that school, so they don't really have a start and end.
Let me ask a kind of a weird question, but do you think, you know, because you mentioned like, oh, the kid's smart and getting the more advanced work. Do you think the fact that you've kind of taught them about programming, and I know you've put them in like the supplemental classes and stuff, well, I don't know if that's it's both your kids you put in those like Code Ninja classes, right?
Just my oldest son right now.
Okay, but still, yeah. Like, I know they've got to be learning stuff from you and a lot of the stuff, like, with Minecraft and all that. Because I think about, like, how when we were growing up, video games would give you such a bad rap, right? Like, only, like, you know, nerds and, you know, deviants played video games and all this stuff. But I feel like we're in a world now where video games are super educational. And I don't mean, like, Number Munchers, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. Don't get me wrong. Those games are phenomenal and a part of our upbringing. But I mean things like, for example, this week, big release, Game Builder Garage comes out, right? Huge target on teaching kids. Like, I don't think anybody's going to make the next big video game in Game Builder Garage, but it's a nice little playroom to learn about logic gating. And I think that's a huge skill to teach kids. Like, if, then, or, and. Like, every industry touches logic. Even the work I do, I have to use logic a lot in my presentation.
I work in tech.
Exactly. So it's all over. So that's my very long-winded way of asking, do you think the games helped the kid?
Yeah, I guess. I don't really see him do that a lot because he's been playing Roblox all the time.
Another example in
a
way.
No, and I get that. And actually, to that, he's actually going to be doing so they have the Code Ninjas like regular stuff. And then he's got they have these summer camps that they run. So they have different specialized things. And so he's actually doing a Roblox one in like a week here. So he'll be learning how to make stuff for that. So I think that'll be a little bit better. But yeah, he's already moving on to the next belt here pretty soon, which
that's
I think
awesome.
They switched to Lua instead of JavaScript. I don't know. That's what it is right now. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. He does it on the side, like independently, but he doesn't use like Scratch, for example, to make games right now. He's using it to make animations. So you know, he's having fun with that, but yeah, I'm sure that'll come down, you know, later on once he kind of gets a bigger idea of like what to do with it. It'll definitely help him.
On the topic of that,
Game Builder Garage, I did pick it up. So my youngest son is playing that. And so he showed me like this tag game he made the other day, which I think is just part of the tutorial, but like that you like, it's a two player game where one person has to try to tag you. And if they tag you, you hit with something, then you lose or something like that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I got to check out the demo for that still. And at some point, I feel like I might get the full game. I almost want to just get the game to play other people's games. Like that's the best part of Mario Maker to me, honestly. So
or Little Big Planet, or yeah, you know, I have to pick up Dreams. You know, that's something that
Dreams has been on a deep cut sale recently too. Somebody in chat earlier was saying they got it for $9.99. So that game's I don't know if that's right now or if that was a few weeks ago, but I'm sure there's a lot of sales going on this week for sure. So check that out. Anyway, it's a huge week in gaming, right? This is, you know, as Jason was kind of tongue-in-cheek alluding to in the intro, which I love that, it's, you know, E3 week. And this is an interesting year because we're in the middle of E3. Most years, I think last year was like this too, but most years, E3 is like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday sort of thing because E3 really is supposed to be a trade show. It's for people that are in the industry. It's for people, it's working, you know, so it's during work time, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, with Monday being set up and Friday being tear down and travel home and all that good stuff. So having this kind of like right in the middle, where we're kind of right in the middle of E3 week when we're doing our show Sunday night, is a little interesting and a little different. And obviously it's not just E3, because obviously with everything that's been going on in the world, with all the changes that have been going on in E3, we've seen some other deviations. We've seen indies that are kind of putting together their own thing. And of course we have, I think, the first recap we want to get into a little bit, Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest, which was the first, media event. I they're not really press conferences anymore. I keep wanting, like, my old brain that's been doing the show for 19 years and covering E3 for a long time wants to keep saying press conference. That's not really what they are now, especially in the age of COVID. They're digital media showcases, basically, or digital media events.
Yeah.
So the first big event we had was the Summer Game Fest event on Thursday, right in the middle of the workday. So I, unfortunately, was not going to be able to watch it. But then, get this, our VPN at work went down for like an hour. So I had time to watch it. And I didn't do it. I didn't hack it. Maybe somebody else at work did something. No, I think lucky timing, I guess. So I kind of got to watch that a little bit. I mean, I kind of, work came back up partway through, so I had to kind of multitask. But I did get to see it live, which I didn't think I'd originally be able to. Thoughts overall? Let's start. Loki, I know you'll kind of touch on everything, but like, how was your feeling overall of the Summer Game Fest, especially because I think that type of announcement was kind of new. Like, I know we had Summer Game Fest last year, but it was like, you know, this big 4-month nebulous thing. And I feel like this was like a different type of, it's like Jeff and friends own digital media event outside of the big ones. And it was interesting. There were some high points for me and some low points for me. But Loki, I'll start with you. What were some of the like high points for you and the low points for you?
I'm trying to, gosh, like, that's the problem with E3 and all these different events, is everything starts bleeding into each other. Like, I don't remember what was announced there versus what was announced, other places. I mean, what was it? The one From Software game looks cool, even though it's a game I'm never going to play it. But it looks cool. I'm trying to think if there's anything like really exciting that they announced there other than that. I don't know. Honestly, like the Xbox stuff, like some of these smaller indie games look really, really good. Like, I'm trying to think of some of the examples here, but like there's like some like 2D looking stuff games that they had that just absolutely just gorgeous.
Yeah.
But I think those are more interesting than some of these bigger games almost.
Well, let's talk about the big one. So the grand finale at the end of the whole thing was Elden Ring. I'm not sure personally how I kind of feel about this game. Like, I understand there's a lot of people very hyped for this game, but I'm not big on Game of Thrones like a lot of people. Sorry. I just, you know, I play so many games. I've fallen behind on my TV. So I never really got into that. So the George R. R. Martin thing is
number one. Yeah. Evil Dead. That was something that looked pretty cool.
Okay.
I like Evil Dead.
But Elden Ring. There's, the trailer, and I'm not super into the Souls game, but then I think about my husband, Alan. He loves Dark Souls and he's platinumed Dark Souls. That is a gaming flex right there to have the Steam equivalent of platinum, but he has every achievement or whatever. So, he's done that on Dark Souls. I think he's done it on Dark Souls 2. And I think oddly enough, he hasn't really completed Dark Souls 3. I guess there's something about it that is different or whatever. So I think he might be more into that sort of thing. But for me, I'm just kind of like, it looks pretty. I'm like, this is eye candy, like left and right. You know, we're really seeing the potential of the systems. But I otherwise was just kind of like, all right, cool for the people that are into Souls games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do see some excitement in our chat also. Ninja the Monkey in chat says, Elden Ring, finally. We also have Questbusters reminding, also the Elden Ring trailer. I want to get this comment out too, because Bobby Blackwolf says, this was the Game Awards without the awards. Yeah, it absolutely was. It was just the announcement part of it. I'll tell you one announcement that surprised me that I was into was the first or second one. It was the Tiny Tina Borderlands.
The Wonderlands.
That's it. Tiny Tina Wonderlands. I was actually kind of into it because when I saw it was Gearbox and 2K and all that, and then the show, at first I was like, okay, oh God, is this going to be a fart joke game? Like when they were kind of announcing some of those comics in it, I was like, it's going to be a fart joke game. But then Wanda Sykes was one of the comments, and I was like, okay, Wanda Sykes is amazing, and she can tell all the fart jokes she wants. I'll check it out for her because I just love the way she talks. Like she's like, just hearing her tell a story is hilarious.
Her stand-up albums, and yeah. I listen to them like every so often.
Yeah. No, and somebody...
She just has a delivery.
I just know... I know there's been that meme around Facebook, like, who would narrate the book on tape of your life? And I've always said Wanda Sykes, because she's so funny, and my life's pretty funny.
I can see that.
Yeah. So, I
know who I would want to narrate mine.
Who?
Actually, it's a streamer. Oh. I want Kill Cannon.
Okay. Oh, is it just
to narrate my life? Have you listened to this man's voice?
I have, but only a little bit. So I'm like having trouble recalling it in my mind.
Oh my God, he's got such a nice voice.
I thought you were gonna say LC at first. And I can definitely hear their voice in my head. You know, got him. I can definitely hear that.
We love to see it. No, I went Kill Cannon to narrate my life because I would fall asleep to those soothing tones.
Loki, why not? Let's finish the trifecta. Who would narrate your autobiography or whatever, with the book on tape version?
Ryan Reynolds.
God, that is such the heterosexual answer. I love that. All right.
It's because he's snarky. It's the snark that I'm attracted to.
You have a little man crush? Well, And he showed up. Okay, tying it back, he showed up at the Summer Game Fest thing too with that trailer for the movie.
Exactly, I'm excited about that movie. So I can't wait.
I know who else I would choose, and that would be Emma Stone, but as Cruella.
Oh, okay, love that.
I need to see it. I need love to see it, Rob. We should go see it.
I think we should. I haven't been to a theater since. I literally don't remember the last time I was in a movie theater because I never went to the movies anyway.
Let's have a friend date.
Are we going to have a friend date? Oh, my God.
Let's do it.
Can we have a friend date, and then we're going to get one popcorn and share it, and maybe our hands will awkwardly touch?
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. Let's do it. Sounds fun.
Okay. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says William Shatner. I understand that, but William Shatner is kind of an asshole.
He's gross.
Anyway, I'm going to just tell that story another day. Let's see. Evil E3VL in chat says Morgan Freeman. Oh, that's a good one, too. All right.
Well, Morgan Freeman's the one that's like the meme version of that.
And we'll just have Corpse Husband do it.
I love that. Bobby Blackwell says someone doing William Shatner's voice then. Perfect. Perfect. It's like it's not Johnny Depp as Captain Why Jack Sparrow. It's somebody else doing Captain Jack Sparrow, like it was Johnny Depp.
Why not just have Patrick Stewart narrate your life?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Anyway, all right. Look, back to the Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. I was into it because I was like, oh my God, if they made Borderlands a high fantasy game, I'm kind of all about that. That sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. Yeah. So I think that might have been my favorite thing, believe it or not, that I saw.
I found some games that looked interesting to me, although I am super, super pissed about Star-Lord the game.
House. Oh, the one they were talking about today?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into that later.
Yeah, but I'm also interested in that Avatar game because I freaking love the Avatar universe.
You're jumping way ahead. That's all
I know
right.
I'm jumping ahead, but those are what I'm excited about.
A lot of people have their feelings. All right, this week we'll get to the Avatar thing in the next segment.
Okay.
So the other announcements. Okay, the Death Stranding director's cut. What are your like? Because so it was. You know, it was totally obvious too. Jeff Keighley's like, I've got a friend here that's gonna talk
we
to.
Know
to
who it's your like, friend is.
It's just like, oh my God, like you and Hideo Kojima have like such a bromance. Like, it's so obvious. Like, your crush is so obvious, Jeff. Like, I feel like if I looked at Jeff's binder, it would say, Mr. Jeff Kojima, Mr. Jeff Kojima, all over it. Like, your crush is so obvious. But
there's a box.
Yeah, well, okay, did you see that trailer? Because it was pretty funny. Because at first, you know, I was like, wait a minute, is this a different game in the Death Stranding engine? Because that was the vibe I got at first. And I was like into it. I was like, oh, they're going to make... But then it was like kind of like self-parody. It was like Kojima's worlds colliding.
For the thing.
Yeah. Oh, no. And then it ended up, yeah, it was definitely like a special thing for the event.
But it's like, how much can they really, I mean, I guess they can milk it forever for Metal Gear Solid, but it's just like, I thought it was like VR missions, I guess, for Death Stranding.
Yeah.
But
also, how are you going to crawl through a vent with all that stuff on your backpack? I mean, that's just physically impossible.
You can't be stealthy carrying around like 20 stacked packages on your back.
Yeah, 50-foot tall package stack on your back.
Questbuster in chat says, I thought the same. I thought he was hinting towards some new expansion or something for Death Stranding. That's what I kind of got the vibe at, too. I was like, oh, maybe like an expansion. Like my brain went to the Final Fantasy VII remake and the Integrate and the Yuffie thing that all happened just this week as well. And I thought maybe that's what was happening for Death Stranding. And I guess when they say director's cut, I would assume that's what it is. Like, wouldn't a director's cut be adding stuff in? Isn't that what a director's cut does?
It would be adding things that were intended to be in.
Yeah.
We really just wanted to put Metal Gear into Death Stranding completely.
I don't think any of that is actually in the game. I think that was all just a big joke for the reveal. But it's interesting. I did. You know what though? At the end of the day, I did love Death Stranding, even if I didn't beat it, because I think it came out at the that game's release is so interesting because I think it came out at the right time and the wrong time. I think it came out at the right time because I don't even know the word for it. What a poetic piece, I guess, on COVID without.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah. It came out at we had Animal Crossing as the perfect release, but Death Stranding also really had that parallel going on, and it wasn't even intentional.
Right. But then for me, that also made it a bad thing, because for me, and like, you know, as an extrovert, I've been having a very hard time these last 15 months. So for me, it was almost like too much for me, like mentally. And for that reason, I was more drawn to the cute little animal friendships and my BFF catch up and all that stuff in Animal Crossing instead.
Which I still need to give you your catch up.
Yay. All right. Can she come on the date to the movie?
Yeah, she can come on the date to the movie.
Okay. Yay. Questbuster in chat says, I enjoyed Death Stranding. It was different and it was kind of fun co-oping and road building with shared resource donations. Also zipline networks for the win. Yeah, absolutely. So, I'll check it out. I don't have a PS5 yet, but I imagine by the time I get one, the director's cut will be down in price a little bit. So I'll probably still check it out. I'll double dip. Why not? Well, I guess I'm the problem.
Is it only on PlayStation 5, or are they doing like the PC version as well?
I guess they didn't say. My assumption was a PS5 thing, but you ask a good question.
It probably is only PS5. I don't know.
I don't. PC's a decent guess. Did you know your webcam died, Loki? I'm sure Jamie.
Oh, that's because I'm eating ice cream. It's
okay. Oh, it's fine. I'm like I'm talking to two dots right now. No, it's all good. It's all good.
Sorry. It's my it's wife fine. Got me vampire penguin. So like you know,
oh, yum.
It's you fine.
Can, you can show us ice cream, yeah, Loki. It's okay. Yeah. Okay. See, yeah, I'm okay with that. All right. Anyway, what else do we miss from Summer Game Fest though? If you can take a break between bites to remind me of the things I'm missing.
Oh, gosh, I'm trying to remember all the different things they announced. Lots of Netflix stuff. Like, I'm kind of curious. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm curious about the Blood Dragon-inspired thing. Although, what they showed, like, doesn't resemble Blood Dragon. Like, Blood Dragon's, like, just very tongue-in-cheek, you know, spoof of all 80s action stuff with, like, a ton of, like, neon synthwave stuff. And the guy that's doing it, I like his fan films that he puts out, the unofficial like bootleg films or whatever. I just don't see it. I mean, it looks like a pretty cool animated thing, but like it's just not. It's not Blood Dragon. I don't know.
Okay, I have
I'll check it out.
I have a list of a few things to remind myself of what was announced at the Summer Game Fest. A Nier Automata crossover with Fall Guys and that 2B costume for Fall Guys. That was kind of funny. I thought of Act Deft because I know he's a fan of that game. The Two Point Campus So that's one of those sim games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's that whole sim universe that...
A 2 Point Hospital. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So 2 Point Campus. And that looked a little batshit crazy, but I also know that, like, I know Dark Sakura loves those sim-type games, so I kind of was like, oh, maybe that'd be something that she's into. Well, not to say I'm not into them. I might check it out. It just looked a little batshit crazy to me, like almost like there was too much going on in that game, you know? But I think that's the appeal of that series, is that they're a little bit tongue-in-cheek, so to speak.
Yeah, you can do your magician's campus or something like that. Kind of interesting.
I thought this was a very strange time to announce this whole, like, we've got a new gaming label. And that was a big thing they got into there, was that there was that Prime Matter where Payday 3, King's Bounty 2, the new Painkiller game. So they kind of had a bunch of, like, rapid-fire stuff in there. That was interesting that they used that opportunity to say, we're launching a new label. I thought that was a little weird. But, I mean, not like bad weird, but just like just kind of weird. So, anyway. And then there were some other ones, too. There's Jurassic World Evolution 2.
Didn't play the first one, but it looked interesting. I don't know. Maybe I'd be more interested when the movie comes out.
Sorry, Alan is texting me from Target, my favorite place. And, like, do you want this? Do you want this? Okay. Yeah, I forgot. Okay, here's the thing. I forgot there was even a Jurassic World Evolution 1 until when they played that trailer, I was like, ooh, this looks really pretty. What is this? And then they were like, it's Evolution 2. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that was a thing. So maybe that's a series I need to check out. I don't know. And then there was one more, and I was hoping Dark Sakura would be back for this, but that's all right. I can ask her later. But there was that Metal Slug Tactics game. That was kind of
interesting. Yeah, it's kind of out of left field there, but it looked interesting.
Yeah, for sure. So I thought that was a little bit weird that showed up. I think the Tactics thing has been a mobile game before.
But like all I wanted though from that is like they had this anime intro type thing to it. I'm like, I want a Metal Slug anime now. Not necessarily right? Like, the Tactics game is fine, but it's like, I'll take the anime, please. Mm-hmm. Can that come to Netflix?
So,
I don't know.
Yeah. So overall, I thought the Summer Game Fest thing, it was fine. There were some decent announcements, but I did think it ran a little long for what they had in it. There were some nice, like, you know, they had like the Weezer thing and actually that first musical performance was the best one. And I'm so sorry. I forgot her name or the game that it was promoting, which is terrible. But all I remember was that I really liked that performance. That was better than the Weezer thing to me. Somebody in chat, please help me out here. But if you want to talk about music to stream, yeah, that
Weezer
was really
thing
cute.
Have that weird tie-in with that boat, like, skateboarding game.
Well, that
like
game
boating.
Looked cute, for sure.
Yeah, it's cute. It's just like, this is so random that this is tied in with the game, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh, now it's bugging me. I can't remember the name of the artist. Like Butterfly something? Butterfly Garden maybe? I can't remember. Shucks. Hopefully somebody in chat will help me out here in a moment. But yeah, that was the musical performance I liked. Thank you. Okay, wow, I messed up the name completely. Mike Def said it was Japanese Breakfast. Where the hell did I get Butterfly Garden from? Was that the name of the song maybe? Or am I just at the point where I'm just straight up making shit up? All right.
Obsessed with butterflies and gardens.
Apparently. I'm thinking of so Japanese Breakfast was the name of the artist. That does sound right now that you're saying that. So that was it was great. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about the next media event, which was Ubisoft's event. So the Ubisoft Forward event happened. I actually don't think any of us were able to catch it live. We only caught kind of the headlines. But let me kick it back over to Dark Sakura because you had brought up the Avatar game. And I know this was a big thing that Ubisoft announced. And a lot of the reaction I saw online to this was, well, this game's about 10 years too late. But
I don't think so.
I don't think so either because we've got those sequel. Like, wasn't the first sequel supposed to be this year, but then COVID?
Yeah, I think the new Avatar movie is coming out.
Yeah.
Soon. Yeah.
So
this is perfectly right. I think that people have allowed themselves to forget.
Yeah, I think you're right. But Dark Sakura, I know you were a big fan of the movie and the lore and all that stuff. What did you think about hearing about this new game?
I would have liked to have seen more about it, mm-hmm. but it looks really pretty. And I'm interested in the Snowdrop engine. I think that it would... You know, once I see a little bit more about it, you know, depending on, like, character customization, what the story's going to be, it just still makes me think I would like a an MMO in that universe. I would play an MMO in that universe in a heartbeat.
Mm. And I think it's also an Avatar game is also a good chance to kind of reintroduce Avatar to the world, because it has been a little while since that first movie. And I think there's a lot of pressure on those sequels to perform very well, because that first, you know, movie is like the biggest motion picture of all time, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, right, yeah.
So,
I mean, absolutely.
So there's a lot of pressure on those sequels to do very well. And so I think in order to help that, they kind of need to bring Avatar back into that pop culture consciousness, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. That's what they need to do.
And the Disney stuff at Orlando is a part of that too, right? Because they just opened the Pandora thing at... is it Animal Kingdom or one of those parks down there? They opened the whole Pandora's world there, and that's a big deal. Apparently, it's really well done. Yeah. So.
I was watching the trailer, and I've watched it a couple of times. It just seems really, like, that was one of the few things that really grabbed me out of the stuff I was able to see.
Going into chat, Zen Monkey says Avatar got beat by Infinity War Endgame, I think. Did it? I thought they did a re-release of Avatar that put it. But I could be wrong. I don't. But either way, shenanigans.
It was ahead at one point, but I think they re-released it in theaters again. So that's why, it's back.
All that stuff aside, it still doesn't negate the point that those sequels are under tremendous pressure to do well because the first movie did so well. Sia Tiberian chat says they could always cancel sequels like they did Divergent. Well, they're not going to do that because they've already filmed at least two of them, right? Like, isn't James Cameron filming like four of them, like back to back to back? Like, not taking
a
break.
Something like that.
Yeah, it seems like it's a lot. Like, when we get a sequel, we're getting sequels. There's going to be a whole
thing. Well, and it's Cameron, so you know he's going to go through it anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Crystal Skies in chat says, yeah, two of them are already filmed. I thought that's what I'd heard too, because I remember there was talk about Sigourney Weaver being in them and all that, which made me go, Well, you know, I don't want, but you know,
everyone
like,
lives through the tree.
How is she in it? Okay. So, oh, wow. They have an entire city built in New Zealand. Well, that's the place to film it, I'm sure. That's going to be interesting. So anyway, so the game is happening, and I'm sure the game is going to be a pretty big undertaking as well. Let's see. What else did we miss at the Ubisoft event?
The Mario and Rabbids Spark of Hope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that whole thing's getting a sequel, which is pretty exciting. What do you think about that?
It looks neat. I played a little bit of the first one. Mm-hmm. I know my kids played more of it, but yeah, it looks cool.
I
like how Nintendo leaked that.
Yeah. It just came to my mind, of course, my music game roots are very excited to hear about this, that Rocksmith is making a comeback. But it's this whole Rocksmith
Plus. They still
had
support for it for a while, though.
They did, but now there's a whole new thing coming out. There's this Rocksmith Plus that's coming out that is going to help you learn how to play guitar. And I think they're actually, like, teaming up with, like, guitar schools and this whole thing. And there's, like, a special guitar and all this stuff. So it's kind of neat to see that series is still going on. Yeah, there's going to be a mobile app and a workshop in the game. So
it's like, hey, please buy more stuff for us.
Yeah, real-time feedback. That's pretty cool how, like, you know, the whole, like, learning through a game thing is really going to the next level. That's for sure.
Wasn't that what Exifer was doing for a bit?
He was playing that game a lot, yes.
Yeah.
He was trying to learn how to play through it, absolutely. So, let's see, some other things that they taught. They talked a lot about Rainbow Six, which I know is a huge series, just not one that I am super into, but I know they spend a lot of time on that. They're getting cross-play, cross-progression with PC. You know there's a new Just Dance game. Who's excited about that? That's coming out too. Of course they had to do that. A new kind of like expansion for Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which is good that I think it's good they're not doing a whole nother Assassin's Creed game, but they're doing an expansion, I think is a good way to do it. So that's pretty cool. And then they were talking about Far Cry 6 a little bit as well. So, also what was not there, the Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake, they bumped it all the way to 2022 now. That thing has been delayed a couple times now. And now they bumped it all the way to 2022. They did not show it. So, interesting.
It's going to just see if it's actually going to happen.
I think it will, but I think it's just having problems. And in all fairness, it's probably COVID-related and the difficulties of developing from home and being able to squash the bugs that way. It's probably not doing too well. So they have to take a little extra time. Loki, I know you love these guys that are up next on our agenda, the Devolver Digital presentation. Did you check this one out?
I did skim through it.
Yeah, what'd you
quite
think?
Quite a bit. They have, like, was it the Shadow Warrior 3 looks just nuts. I thought originally when I was looking at that it was a new Serious Sam game, but yeah, it just looks absolutely crazy. So there's that. Gosh, I'm trying to think of the Atomic. There was another game, but I can't remember if it. Once again, I watched the Xbox and then I watched the Devolver Digital all like back to back. I can't remember what other game they had there that was like really amazing, but there was like a bunch of like crazy stuff. I mean, it's always crazy. And then of course, you know, the gimmicks that they do where they're selling like $1,000 VHS tape or something like that. Always funny. I like their stuff.
Yeah. I guess they had a whole like monetization as a sort, they're kind of riffing on the whole like monetization type of thing. So the games they announced, Loki, maybe one of these will jog your memory, Trek to Yomi was one of the games.
Yeah, that looked interesting. Yeah,
Wizard with a Gun. I like that based
I
on
think
title
that's
alone.
By the that's by the folks. I want to. I mean, I can't remember. I know it wasn't the. I thought it was another Gungeon game based on the little animated trailer thing that they had at first. But yeah, it's not. But it looked interesting. Kind of had a Don't Starve vibe to it.
This game sounds super interesting to me. Inscription. Which is a roguelike, but a deck builder with escape room style puzzles and psychological horror. I'm like, wow,
very complicated.
Way to take a lot of random shit that I'm into and like throw it all in the same game. I'm cool with it. I'm into it. Why not? Let's see. And then Devolver Tumble Time. Is that actually the name of the game? I think it is.
I thought that was just a parody that they had in there, but yeah.
No, it's a legit mobile game that's coming out iOS and Android. Demon Throttle is one. Death's Door, Phantom Abyss, and then Shadow Warrior 3. And that's everything that I see on my list.
Demon Throttle looked cool. But yeah, Shadow Warrior 3 is just insane looking.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. So that was pretty much what was going on with Devolver. Admittedly, I didn't catch it just because there was a lot of other stuff going on this weekend. I couldn't sit in front of press conferences all weekend long, but I knew I could catch some of the wrap-ups later on, which it sounds like, Loki, you kind of did. You binge-watched everything today, right?
I tried to get as much of it in there as I could, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't always do this, but I have to. So I just got a text message from my dad. And he says he's watching on the iPad right now, which I don't know if I've ever gotten a text like that he's actually watching the show live as it's going on. So can y'all in chat show a little love to my dad who's watching, especially with Father's Day coming up next week. I think it's pretty rad that he's watching right now. So give him some shout outs in chat and hello, hello. And sorry, I'm not texting you back, but I'm a little busy right now. But there you go. All right.
Father's Day is actually pretty sad for me.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know it's yeah. Well, and you know, Mother's Day for me is rough too. So yeah. So tap the little button that shows you chat if you don't already see it, because there's a lot of love in there. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about one that I definitely watched because I was watching this event live.
Hate watching it.
What's that?
I say where you hate watching it?
No, I wasn't. The Microsoft event? I wasn't hate watching that.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Square Enix.
No, I wasn't intending on hate watching that, but we'll get to that. Okay. So the Microsoft event. So Bobby and
there's
I were doing a co-stream.
So much.
Today. God, there was a lot. Well, what do you
there's
think?
There's so Let's, much to like, yeah.
Overall, what did you think of Microsoft? Because I kind of.
Excellent.
I thought it was a tepid reaction on Twitter, but I wasn't. I thought it was excellent. I thought they did a great job. Yeah, I was a little shocked. It was only an hour and 15 minutes. But when you consider like what I really loved about it, and when Bobby and I were talking, he really kind of phrased this a really good way, too, is that you have the beginning and, you know, they're Microsoft saying this is what we're going to show you. And then they show it to you. And then at the end, they say, this is what we've shown you. Like, here's the receipts. And they really did. They showed, what, 30 games, 27 of them coming to Game Pass. And once again, I'm sitting here going, this is the greatest Game Pass commercial that Microsoft is doing with this event. Like, right? There was so much good stuff where it was like, get it on Game Pass, get it on Game Pass. I mean, we're talking about new stuff like the Halo game, and we're talking about things like Hades, right? An amazing game from last year that is also going to be coming to Game Pass. And I think one of the other big shocks for a game that's coming to Game Pass is that Ayuden Chronicles, which, you know, don't call it Suikoden, but wink, right? There's that whole thing. And that was that was crowdfunded. So it was a little shocking to hear that Microsoft kind of paid to get it on Game Pass. But the creators immediately were doing, if you want to call it damage control, I don't know what you'd call it, because I don't think everybody feels burned by this. But you know there's going to be some anti-Xbox people out there that are like, why is this on Game Pass? I didn't back this game for it to be on Game Pass. Because you know there's always somebody's going to complain. But they sent out an email almost immediately to backers, and disclosure, I was a backer of the game, that says, it's coming out. There's going to be a third DLC that this Microsoft deal has completely funded now, in addition to the two we promised you, and this will be free to all the backers. So it's like you're going to get more of this game because of this deal. I think it's
someone going to hate on that, though.
Haters going to hate.
Haters going to hate.
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah, and Crystal Skies 80 in chat says, it gets me free DLC, so I'm good. And I think that's an important – consider that perspective. They're not taking anything away. They're adding to. And this happens a lot in gaming on a lot of different topics. People get mad, but they're not taking away. They're adding to. So it's going to be fine. They're not suddenly taking away the PlayStation version or the Switch version. It's just that it's also going to be on Game Pass. But that's still a huge land for Game Pass. And in my opinion, a very smart move on Microsoft's part, because what is their biggest, weakest spot right now at Microsoft? Japanese-developed games.
And especially
exclusive ones. They have a huge weak spot there, and everybody knows that's Microsoft's blind spot, and they have a really hard time with that. Is the Japanese developed. So they gave this game a lot of money, and now that's a huge asset in Microsoft's pocket. I think it's a very smart deal, good for them. So, all right. Let's see. What else do we want to talk about from the Microsoft event? I know the big one I have to talk about, y'all, because it was like this. Unless Nintendo really blows it out of the water on Tuesday, which I'm managing my expectations, I don't see how anything beats Forza Horizon 5. That blew my fucking mind. That trailer was amazing.
It's a gorgeous game.
It's gorgeous. Love the fact that they set it in Mexico. And I think it's important to note, I love that the game is trying to shatter a lot of perceptions of Mexico. Because let's be real, a lot of folks in the U.S. have a certain perception of Mexico based on the news and the media and that whole thing, right? And I love the fact that through a video game, they're going to really challenge our perceptions of that and really show a lot of, you know, all these diverse things from an entire country. And I think they really drove the point home when they were like, look how you can get out of your car and take a picture of this mural that was actually developed by a Mexican artist. And is
Diego?
I do not remember the artist's name in the moment. I'm sorry. I was absorbing a lot of information. But it was a beautiful mural.
The most famous mural creators and painters of Mexico. He's also married to his name was Diego Rivera. He was married to Frida Kahlo.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And they cheated on each other a lot, but that's art history.
That's art history. But even, you know, and so even next to all that, the game just looked beautiful. My God. Like I went back and looked at the thing that Bobby and I was doing. My jaw was on the floor watching the graphics. It was so good. Mike Deft is confirming it was not Diego Rivera.
So. Yeah, I didn't see all of it yet, so yeah, I just saw a little bit of the trailer.
Check out the footage for the game. It looks amazing.
Like, if I was going to look at a mural, I'd look at Diego.
What I also thought was kind of novel about Forza and Forza Horizon and the fact that it was showing up at Microsoft's conference, that's the game they dedicated the most time to. Not Halo, not Battlefield. They dedicated the most time to Forza Horizon 5. And, like, I on one hand, I get it, because those Forza games are always incredibly critically well-received, and I'm sure this game's going to be no different. Obviously,
it looks beautiful.
It's huge. Yeah, and showing up, like, now you're getting to watch it in 4K even. And when it was being streamed live, it wasn't in 4K. And I bet it's even more gorgeous in 4K. I got to go back and watch it again. Just the fact that that was the tentpole made me so happy, because that was what really finally converted me over to the Xbox camp, was really playing Forza Horizon. Was like a huge, you know, I was like, there just isn't a racing game like this. This is huge. Mm-hmm. So, and Crystal Skies in chat points out, Forza Horizon still has a massive dedicated fan base. And by the way, shout out, you guys. Since we're recording a podcast, you know what? But you guys have a hype train going in chat, and I just want to say thank you. Since we're recording this show, I don't like to do the usual Twitch thing of doing all the shout outs in the middle of the show, because it kind of disrupts the flow of the podcast. But I just, your generosity is so kind. So thank you guys so much. I really appreciate all of you. Thank you for being here on Sunday night. I appreciate it.
I really like this mural.
Oh, yeah. Mike Defton chat called out. It is Farid Rueda. I hope I said that name right.
Yeah.
Who did that mural. Yeah, it's a cool mural. It looks like something you'd see on in the wide open walls downtown, doesn't it? Especially because it's a bear. And California is really big on bears. Looks like,
yeah,
one of those
things. Makes me think of some of the murals I've seen in parts of Oakland.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
That stole the whole damn show to me, was that Forza Horizon. But right before Forza Horizon came up was that Microsoft Flight Simulator on Xbox. And whoo, that was gorgeous. I mean, that we already know that game is gorgeous. Like, you know, it's already been out on PC, and it's kind of like if you watch people stream that game, or you've played it yourself, it's like we knew that game was gorgeous. But to see it on the Series X, you know, a platform that's really optimized for gaming, and to just look, I mean, oh my God. Dark Soccer, bring up that trailer too, because never in my life, 20 years ago, I would have never thought, like, I'm into flight sims, but like,
yeah, flight sim. I actually have been watching that one.
Yeah.
And you want to know, honestly, the first thing that popped into my head, and you're going to laugh your ass off about this, is I was thinking of Soarin. From Disneyland.
Oh my God, kinda. You do kind of get that vibe from a trailer like that, right?
I totally got that vibe, down to the music and everything, but it is really pretty. All the various different kinds of planes. Now, I probably, well, and there's a Top Gun reference, of course. I mean, I probably wouldn't play it, but I would watch people play it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, yes, especially how you've turned into quite the Twitch person this past 3 months, ever since you discovered the Dead by Daylight community. And it's like, queer people playing horror games, my home. Right?
Yeah,
am
kinda.
I wrong?
Well, no, it's just like, well, honestly, like, what got me into that was my friend Sweet Nika.
Mm-hmm.
And then I discovered the rest of the community around it, and I'm like, ooh, I like these people, and I like this game, and I suck at it, but I'm getting better, and yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yes, so you brought up the Top Gun thing. That was actually, it looks like a free, maybe not free, I don't know, but
No, it's free.
Oh,
it's free.
It? Oh, shit. Yeah. So like a free expansion to Flight Simulator that they're actually, you can fly the freaking planes from Top Gun. And all that. So
it's a tie-in with the new movie.
Oh, Maverick. Yeah, for sure. But it's still like...
Who doesn't want an F-15 Tomcat?
Yeah, how completely unnecessary, but awesome. Right?
As long as we get like the Top Gun soundtrack in there as well.
Yes, then, that remix was great. The Bobby, like the minute Bobby heard that, bong, that starts right at the beginning, he's like, it's Top Gun. Holy shit, it's Top Gun. Right
now we just need like Kenny Loggins on the soundtrack.
But no, for me, all I need, just the thing I do not want, please do not have the refueling plane in Flight Simulator.
God, no.
No.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back to the NES Top Gun game, which was amazing. Like, for back in the day on the NES, the Top Gun game was the shit. That game
Except
was
for
awesome. The only thing cooler than the Top Gun video game was the Top Gun ride at Six Flags Great America in the Bay Area.
But Rob, it honestly, okay, I'm gonna admit something to you.
Okay.
I had the How to Win at Video Games VHS tape. And it had how to do the refuel thing perfectly every time.
Wow. I could never get it. I could never get it.
Once you have, like, the pitch and everything, it actually isn't that hard to get your plane there if you do the same one every time. It's just interesting. But honestly, though, Afterburner was better.
Always
I'm saying it.
A Sega fan till the very end. A Sega fan till the very
end.
No,
keep in mind, I grew up with Nintendo and Super Nintendo. Dan's a Sega guy.
I know,
but
I know.
Stepping back now, I can say this. Afterburner is a better game. Because no refueling, and it's a lot more fast-paced.
But Top Gun was no slouch. All right.
It was anyway. No slouch. No. But
all
also,
right.
Afterburner had better music.
But the two, like I was going to say, aside from those, though, there was some other smaller stuff that looked pretty awesome, like Replace, that pixel art kind of like, I don't even know, it just looks amazing. Just the artwork in that is such amazing work. I need to try it. And then Atomic Heart, which kind of looked like a Soviet version of Fallout, looks just crazy. So I'm going to check those out.
I just have to shout out the chatters one more time because that hype train got all the way to level 5. They hit the they beat the final boss of the hype train. There's no more levels to the hype train. They got it all the way.
So they defeated the hype train, much like, you know, Final Fantasy.
They suplexed that hype train. Absolutely.
The hype train, yeah.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you to all of
you who
participated with that. Thank you. Thank you.
Another game that just looks really pretty to me, although I don't know if I'm going to play it though, is Outer Worlds.
You must watch the trailer, the narration. Okay, the narration. Well, listen to it too, because the narration is funny as hell. But yes, it looks good too. I thought it was Fable at first until there was space aliens, and so I was like, oh, wait, this can't be Fable.
What if they did like Fable alien version? Like,
I'd be into it, but they need to give us Fable the regular version first, which we haven't seen yet.
we need more Fable.
You should really play Outer Worlds, though. I hear it's really good.
Oh, I played a little bit of it, and it is really fun, and it's just one of those, again, you know, then I got distracted by something shiny and didn't go back and finish it, but I need to. I really do. Let's talk about some of the other announcements at the Microsoft Bethesda event. I think a big one we have to mention, Starfield. So we kind of got the first look at Starfield, although they didn't really show the game, so I still am not really, like, okay, it's space. We knew that. But I will say, like, not to sound like low on it, because when I was watching the trailer, I was like, the level of graphical detail in this game is amazing. You know, it was really paying attention to detail. And maybe that's why this game is taking so fucking long, which is fine, is that they're paying such attention to detail. But we did finally get the date. It's going to be 11/11/22, which is cute because that's, you know, what, 11 years after Skyrim, right? So it's going to be then. And they did confirm, they put an end to this whole, are they or are they, it is Xbox exclusive. So, none for you, PlayStation, which, you know, on, is an expected move on Microsoft's part. They got to do it to kind of counter, the Horizon Zero Dawns and the, you know, God of Wars of the world. They had to do something, of their own. So, but unfortunately we didn't really get to see gameplay. And so I'm like, is it Skyrim in space? Is it what is it? So unfortunately, that part was still kind of missing for me. But hopefully we'll see more. At least we know, okay, we got about a year and a half to go. So we'll probably see way more about it at the next E3. That's for sure. So
it's No Man's Mass Effect.
Hey, you know, I love this. You know, I love the space games. So that's why I'm already, you know, yeah, you joke, but. that game already,
like,
has
I'm
my attention. Exactly. Let's see some of the other things to mention. So they closed with an interesting game. Let's talk about the actual closing of it, because I saw some comments in chat. So they closed with a game called Redfall that was a, like, co-op open world game, if I remember right. And it looks a lot like a zombie Left 4 Dead type of thing, except it's not zombies, it's vampires.
Ooh.
So it's a vampire shooter game. Now, here's the thing. I liked it. I liked that it was a, you know, diverse roster of characters that looked very, like, they all had very big personalities that looked like a lot of fun. I felt like I was watching, like, a good Netflix anime type of thing. But the problem was, where's the game?
They're just trying to build hype.
I know, but it's, you know, and that's... it's hard because I'm kind of, where's the game? What am I supposed to get hyped about? Because we're all old enough to know that isn't what the game really looks like. So look, I get, okay, from a concept level, okay, they sold it. And my brain goes way back to when Blizzard first teased Overwatch. They had their epic cinematic, right? And that was really to sell the universe, this brand new IP that they're putting out. And they really did a kick-ass job of it. But they immediately followed it up with, oh, and this game is playable on the show floor at BlizzCon. So people knew like that it was going to be like a Team Fortress-esque type of game right off the bat. We don't really know what this game is. And that's the only problem I really had with it, especially as a closer. I was just kind of surprised, like, a new IP that you're not really showing us the game is the closer. It was just an interesting choice.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, like,
that was a choice.
Fail. I'm not saying fail. I'm just like, I would have probably just maybe ended with the Forza Horizon 5, I'm kind of like, maybe the Starfield thing, but then I think I would have had the same bitch, is that they're not actually showing gameplay. Why did they do that last? So, I don't know.
Choices.
Yeah. Zen Monkey in chat says, I loved it. We'll see the game early next year. It's Borderlands with vampires set in the present day. Yeah. And again, I'm not trying to shit on people that did enjoy it. That's great. I mean, that's what it's trying to do, is build hype, get you into this. But for me, I'm just like, where's the game, sis? I got to see like what, like, and that's when I'm going to know if I'm like, ooh, I'm into this, or I don't know, it looks a little not my type of thing. Like kind of like Stalker 2. I'm like, this looks really pretty. Probably not the type of thing I'm into, but it is on Game Pass. So, sure. I mean, maybe I'll check it out that way. So, Questbuster in chat says there's also Vampire Blood Hunt based on the Masquerade IP that's coming out this year, a Vampire Battle Royale. Yeah, I thought of that too. So definitely zombies out with, that's old news. I mean, sure, we have Back for Blood coming too, but zombies, that's the old vampires. That's the hot shit. But here's my question. Do the vampires sparkle?
No, because they're real vampires.
But sparkle, Dark Sakura.
No.
All right.
The answer is always no.
What else from Microsoft's event do I need to mention, Loki?
Halo Infinite looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess I thought I touched on that a little
I mean,
bit. Did they recover from what they showed last time, which was not well received?
Absolutely.
Which, for the record, I wasn't bothered by what I saw last time. I didn't think they had to make
it.
Yeah, I just was like, okay, it's got a Halo 1 vibe. They're doing a throwback thing. But they really went out of their way to like show, like, look where the game's at now. It's in a very different place. So, I mean, good for them. The only thing that was a little muddled for me, and maybe chat, you guys can help me clear this up. I don't understand what they meant when they said episode 1 is out this holiday. Did they just mean the multiplayer episode 1, or are they like dividing up the main game because it's not all going to be done yet? That was the part that threw me a little bit, and I was like, that muddled the message for me big time. I wish they hadn't done that. But otherwise,
maybe they're gonna release the multiplayer and then have the story campaign is split up.
Maybe, I don't know. So everybody in chat is still yelling about me talking about sparkling vampires. Sorry about that. Fifth Dream does say Infinite implies game as a service, i.e. in pieces. Well, that is a fair point. Absolutely. But
yeah, but they also mentioned it was a ship too, or a place or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm kind of like, well, what are they charging $60 for then?
Are they charging $60? Because like, we don't know what the price is yet.
I guess that's true, too. It could be $70. Well, but then for a lot of people, it's Game Pass. And that was kind of the thing. That's kind of what I left with on that, is I was like, well, are they releasing part of the game? Or I was like, well, it doesn't really matter because I have Game Pass, so I'll just get whatever they put out. Again, a lovely Game Pass commercial Microsoft put out today. A very lovely Game Pass commercial. So, all right.
Stalker 2 looked pretty cool as well.
Which one?
I got it. Stalker 2. I got it. Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious because it's pretty similar, but I got a very, you know, Metro vibe from that. But it, I mean, it looks good.
Mm-hmm. Phoenix 7726 talking about the Halo release says, I mean, look at FIFA, Rob, and the shit that does for $60 USD. E3VL says $60 for campaign, multiplayer live service, multiplayer is free to play. Yeah, I definitely caught that, and that's a great thing. And I think we should all be thankful, to go back to Phoenix's comment, we should all be thankful it's not an EA game.
Hmm.
And yeah. All right. So, all right. Yeah, and Pele Hanomeo says the plot to Infinite is Where's Cortana? That sure looked like what they were kind of showing there, but it looked really pretty, everything that was there. So, cool. All right, anything else for Microsoft before we move on to the next one? Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about the last one that I watched today, and that was Square Enix's event.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about some fucking choices. Jesus. Like...
I'm kind of excited about the Pixel remaster.
I'm not. I'm pissed about it. I'm straight up pissed about it. I'm going to tell you why. It was the very end of the trailer that said coming for Steam and mobile. And
do you guys not have phones?
Here's the thing. And Square's done this before. When they put games out on Steam that are just mobile ports, they're terrible. And look, I'm sorry. Final Fantasy is not, especially the classic games, are not meant to be played on mobile. Like, I'm fine with RPGs that are created for the mobile space with the touch controller and all that in mind. Case in point, Fantasian. Great. That is
so good.
Yeah, and that is like the Final Fantasy-esque thing for mobile. I'm thrilled that exists, and I want to play it at some point. I don't need Final Fantasy VI shoehorned on a fucking mobile phone again. Like, I just, that's what's irritating me about it.
I'm not looking at it the same way. I'm looking at it with hopefully having that same sort of control like Fantasian does.
Mm-hmm.
And if so, I'd be super happy with it.
You know what?
And I want to be able to play it on my Mac.
I'm happy to be proved wrong and it ends up being okay. But I guess I'm disappointed it's not like on the Switch, which seems to be the perfect place for something like that. And then I actually have my controller and I can play like and just to package just like Final Fantasy 1 and 2 from Game Boy Advance. I don't know what they would do for 3. I guess they could do a new translation of that or whatever. That's going to be the most interesting release is Final Fantasy 3, in my opinion. Because keep in mind, we've only ever gotten that game in the 3D remake localized. So it's going to be that's the most interesting one to me. And if I buy any of them, it'll be that one. And then, you know, 4 had a great version on PSP and so on. So it's not like it's not the Pixel remaster part that bothers me. It's just the whole fact that if they're aiming for mobile, I'm not sure I'm into it. But we do still have Nintendo's event on Tuesday and they could end up announcing it again. And it's coming to Switch as well, although I'm trying to be a realist about that. And I realize that is probably not going to happen. But I just like I was so kicked in the gut after that I just. I almost like tuned out the rest of the Square Enix thing. I was just like, why? But anyway, so there was some other stuff. The Guardians of the Galaxy game. So Darksoccer, you brought this up earlier. They spent a lot of time on it. A lot of time on that Guardians of the Galaxy game.
Ugh.
But I thought it looked decent. And
I like that it's based more off the comic looks, too.
Yeah, Shane had a great tweet about it. He tweeted something like, hey, since Star-Lord doesn't look like Chris Pratt at all, I'm kind of into this.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
I like that Gamora looks like she does in the comics.
Yeah, yeah, they all do.
That you can only play Star-Lord.
As far as we know, I'm sure there'll be DLC or something, but who knows? But a lot of people were right off the bat kind of boxing that. Well, I don't say boxing it in, but throwing it in, sorting it in with the Avengers game. And it's important to note, Avengers was done by a different studio. So this Guardians of the Galaxy is coming from Eidos Montreal. So it is being developed in a different place. So and they were very big to say at the beginning, this is a single player game. Or at least has a single player experience. So they were trying to kind of differentiate it from the beginning from what you might see with the Avengers or what have you. Alan bought me a present. Look at this from Target. Thank you, Alan. Can you actually, since you're standing, I know you guys can't see it. I'll describe it. Put it closer to the camera just so folks can see it. It's a little Street Fighter 2 mini machine, but that actually has like the full controller with the six
nice.
Buttons. Yeah, right?
All right. I need one of those.
He got it at Target, but it's, I think, wasn't it like $50? $50. But this is
$50. I can just play this.
This is a little more solid than the, this is by far bigger than any of the other mini cabs I have. That's for sure. Wow. This has a huge cord that goes with it too. That's something else. So there you go. SGO and Hunter Matt says, Alan loves me. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Thank you, Alan.
I had to ask.
Am I allowed to spend $50 on this for you? And I'm like, well, if it's for me, yeah. All right. All right.
It does look good. That game looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. So let's see. Sorry I derailed us a little bit, but that's the joy of doing things live. So yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm into it. I want to check it out. What else did they announce? They had that. What was the Babylon? That was the game that was right after the final. Yeah, the thing that was right after the Final Fantasy news. So I was kind of seething.
Babylon's Fall.
Yeah, I mean, it did look interesting though. It's a platinum thing, right?
Mm.
Yeah. So I want to check out the beta of that game for sure. And then I think the other big thing they announced there was that Final Fantasy Origin. That whole thing had been rumored on various, you know, Twitters, social media, web forums for a little bit, is that Final Fantasy is getting a Dark Souls-esque type of game, because that is now all the rage, apparently, between things like Elden Ring. And now we've got this coming as well as the Final Fantasy take on the Dark Souls, although it appears to be possibly something that's like a prequel to Final Fantasy I, because it's Final Fantasy Origin. Not to be confused with Final Fantasy Origins, a great PlayStation compilation of old Final Fantasy games that were not done for mobile. But anyway.
It's like, it's a little too Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
Well, I think Team Ninja, so that reminded me a lot of like Ninja Gaiden or something like that.
Yeah, they're redos of Ninja Gaiden, but it's... I suppose it would be interesting. I mean, it's in the universe, but... You know, I don't know.
Well, I'm happy.
At least it's...
Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, as much as I love Final Fantasy VII, at least it's not a Final Fantasy VII universe.
Yeah, and I'm glad they're doing a demo too. Even if I don't have a PlayStation 5, so I'm a little bit like sad that they don't have a comparable thing on Series X right now. But at least they have a demo coming out, so we can get a better sense of, you know, what is this game, and that does show that they really believe in it. You know, to put out a demo can really make or break your entire game, and it's especially if you're Square Enix. Square Enix knows this better than anyone right now. Hello, Balan Wonderland, right? A demo can make or break your entire game. Although, you know, then there was also Ni No Kuni, which had a terrible demo, but the game turned out okay, but I digress. But the fact that they're putting it out there and actually having a demo that's playable, I think is pretty interesting. So I want to check. I'm sure somebody will stream that demo or it'll be on YouTube so I can at least get a sense of like what it's all about that way. So it'll be it'll be interesting. I'm curious about it. I'm willing to give it a shot. Let's put it that way. Because it does seem like Final Fantasy wants a franchise out of this. Because the name of the game is not Final Fantasy Origin. The name of the game is something else that escapes me in the moment. It had a different title.
Strangers of Paradise.
Thank you.
Stranger of Paradise.
Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin. So
that ending, though, on that trailer, though, did kind of give me a little bit of a chill.
How so?
Just with Garland.
Yeah, true, true.
I mean, I saw it coming, but at the same time, it was just like, hey.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I can't wait for the sequel, though. Stranger of Paradise, Chocobo Racing Origin. It's going to be amazing.
I hope so. I hope so.
A Souls-like Chocobo Racing game.
I think many folks probably surprised. No updates on Final Fantasy 16.
No.
So I guess that'll be ready when it's ready. I mean, I don't think any of us were anticipating it this year anyway. So maybe they just... would rather keep. I guess that supercut at the very end of the Square Enix thing might have had like 2 seconds of new footage of Final Fantasy 16, but otherwise they didn't really have an update on it. So you know, which, all right, if it's not ready, it's not ready, and we're probably not seeing it till next year realistically anyway. So, but I was a little surprised there wasn't an update, because it's such a tentpole title for Square Enix. But okay, I mean, they did, Creative Unit 3 did just have their Final Fantasy 14 showcase a few weeks ago, so maybe they just weren't ready to talk about 16 right away. I don't know. Whatever. So.
No.
All right.
Well, there were other things that weren't in the big batches.
Yeah. Anything else you want to shout out here before we get to predictions or whatever?
The Among Us stuff is kind of cute.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was in the Microsoft thing.
Was it? I didn't notice.
Actually, I think it was in the Microsoft and Summer Game Fest. You know, that game is still huge. But what was your take on all that?
Well, just that, I mean, it's not, I think it would be nicer, especially with all the streamers that I watch that play a lot of Among Us.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely allows for more friends to get together and have fun being totally sus.
Mm-hmm.
The colors, though, were interesting. Like, I'm totally into the maroon.
Yeah, yeah. And the expansion to 15 players, right? Because that, that 10 is the
That's what I was
next,
just
right?
saying oh, yeah, about yeah. the 15.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, being able to play with more people.
Oh, and of course, but, the Jeff outfit, the Jeff Keighley outfit. That was the big thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that returning.
Yes, there is that. Yeah. But
Jeff
I mean,
is looking sus.
This, the game itself was sort of like, it took a little bit of time for it to really take off, and now it's super taken off. And I think that it's just, I mean, just another thing for the power of the internet, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That's what, how I look at it.
Any other games you want to shout out, you or Loki, before we, yeah?
No.
Okay.
I didn't watch this, so no.
All right.
I mean, totally not part of the thing, but we get our new Dead by Daylight DLC soon, and I'm kind of quaking for it.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. That's for sure. So,
yes.
Yeah. I know we have a Dead by Daylight story coming up later, and what was diverting your attention today, but we'll get into that a little later. For now, let's talk about the upcoming week, because we are right in the middle of things. So we're taping this on Sunday night. So by the time some of you are listening to this podcast, we may actually have more details on things that we didn't know about at the time we were taping this. And certainly one of the big things, you know, if you're listening to this after Tuesday, Nintendo will have had their direct Tuesday morning. And, you know, the bar is set pretty high for Nintendo, I think. There's a lot, you know, and probably mistakenly so by a lot of people. There's this weird ass rumor going around right now about the whole GameStop ad that says new Nintendo Switch. When I'm just gonna say it. Consider the source on that, which is one of the most clickbaity game journalists I've ever seen in my life. And we don't have to drag him in chat if you know what I'm talking about. I just I think it's one of the most clickbaity people I've ever seen in my life. And if you look on that ad that they're like, oh, it said the new Nintendo Switch. It literally says the promotion starts today. So if there was a new Nintendo Switch, I think we would have known about it today. So I think they meant new as in not used, or new as in the remake that has the better battery. Because even the picture was still the old Nintendo Switch. So I think they're making something out of nothing, which is what clickbait journalists do. So whatever. Anyhow.
Yeah.
And Nintendo has said they're not announcing hardware. Like they said very plainly, it's 40 minutes of software. And I really do think there is the potential that they delayed the hardware suddenly to next year when they realized they would not be able to make enough. For a change, Nintendo probably made the right decision in that aspect. But let's talk about the software that we might see from Nintendo. You know, huge, if we want to believe rumors, although in my opinion, a lot of Nintendo rumors are kind of all bullshit right now because that new Nintendo thing is not playing out. So I don't know how much stock I put in this whole 2D Metroid thing that supposedly is what we're going to see. I would fucking love it, but I'm not going to set that bar and just get disappointed. So if it happens, yay. Mm. I would also be yay just with a simple Metroid Prime 4 update. And even if they also date it for 2022, I'm fine with that. And because that's probably how long it's going to take. Honestly. So, but 40 minutes is a lot for Nintendo.
That's a lot of time.
That is a lot of time.
Games.
Well, and I have a feeling they are going to unveil something big and do a deep dive. Because look at things like Game Builder Garage or some of the other recent stuff this year. Nintendo is announcing things with a 6-week lead time. So it is very – and this is, I think, what's realistic. If whether it's a 2D Metroid or something else, I think Nintendo will announce, like, a Labor Day game and give us a deep dive on it, on why we're all going to pre-order it today. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Some folks in chat, E3VL says, I just want a Breath of the Wild 2 gameplay trailer. Dark Tetsuya says, yeah, I'd love to see more on Breath of the Wild 2. Big same. You know, I have strong feelings on that. I think Nintendo really needs to put up or shut up on that. And yes, I know at the end of the day, it's not going to change sales whatsoever. They can do whatever they want. But it's like, come on. Like, you know, give the fans something. Like, it just starts to feel like they don't care about fans when they go so long without even like just a hint of information. It's just Yeah. A lot to me. She-Hulk 10 in chat says, I need Donkey Kong. I could see that as well as like a surprise Labor Day release. I think something like that, like a Donkey Kong in the style of Tropical Freeze and that whole thing. I think a Donkey Kong game like that coming out Labor Day, like a 6-week lead time, and they do a deep dive on it. I think that is a realistic prediction, but it is a prediction for sure.
I would just like to see something. It would be nice for like a new Mario Kart. I think it'd be, it's been a while since we've had a new Mario Kart game, since the last one they released was on the Wii U.
Not counting the world or the camera game, the AR game.
We don't,
that was its own thing. I think you have to, but you know, they're going to say it. If I don't say we had the AR game, they're going to say we just got a Mario game last year, Loki.
Yeah, that doesn't even count though. It's like we have the mobile game too. That I would think counted more than the AR game. I think I've learned my lesson with not buying any more AR things from them. Like it just doesn't get used at all. I don't know. We'll see. I don't have high expectations because if you do that, you're just going to get disappointed.
Yeah, I understand. I just hope there's a couple of nice things that are like, we're going to release it today.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love that stuff. I love that stuff. Maybe another 99 game, even though they just did the Pac-Man one. But I would be all about like a new 99 game. I think that would be fun. I would love to see the NES Remix series come back. Another sleeper series I'd love to see come back. And this one gets rumored a lot. WarioWare. Where the hell's that been? I'd love to see that come back on Switch.
That'd be amazing.
But again, I don't want to, set the bar too crazy high because it'll just be disappointment. So, She-Hulk 10 in chat says Nintendo needs Xbox Game Pass streaming Xbox games. Oh, like an xCloud player.
That would be amazing.
I think there's a lot of people that would be so fucking hype if something like that happens. But that is one of those things where, like, if we were betting illegally on what would be announced, like, that would be a high odd thing. That would be like a 50-to-1 odds that something like that happens. That's a stretch. I don't know. But it is interesting, isn't it, when Phil Spencer sits there and he has a Switch sitting behind him. It is. But for me, I'm like, well, that's just like, that's Psychonauts 2 coming to Switch.
Ori.
I don't know if I'm willing to say it's going to be this xCloud thing, but it would, holy shit, would that be amazing? That would be.
I mean, I'm sure he wouldn't say no.
Microsoft doesn't have a portable system. Nintendo would have the strength of Microsoft's library on their portable system, but is it worth it to them? I don't know. There's a lot of it where I'm like, I feel like the fanboy want is outweighing the realization of what is realistic and good business sense, especially for a company like Nintendo. So I'm not willing to put my heart too much into that rumor. I think it's rad as hell. I'd love it, but I think realistically it's not going to happen. But I will sit here and happily eat my words with a big old spoon on next week's show. I will happily do that.
We'll just say that there's no new Nintendo Switch, and what they're doing instead is that Game Pass is coming to Switch. And Nintendo games are coming to the Xbox Series X. There you go.
Dream the fuck on with that one. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about, I think that was finally everything with like E3 and Summer Game Fest and all that stuff. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of games that we have been playing this week. I think Dark Sakura stepped away because her camera's off. So, Loki, I'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
It was incredible. So, this week, as I talked about last week, I actually recorded my streaming session today with Tango from Hermitcraft. So that was fun. We didn't really build a ton. It was more just kind of just sitting there and like chatting while we were just like trying to place blocks. Because like it's kind of silly. I brought him on and I'm like, so what I did, and this will be all in my video too when I put it out. So I had spent this entire week crafting a very immense redstone machine. So what it was is this giant light board. It was that would scroll his logo across it and then freeze for a second and then animate off. So it was like an animated like logo board thing. So I built that, designed it in Creative, brought it back into the server and built it in Survival there. And then what I had planned to do, but I ran out of time, was I was going to make a joke about how my gold farm produces way too much gravel. So I was going to cover the whole thing in gravel and just like kind of reveal it. There's a way you can kind of use scaffolding and stuff to drop gravel, kind of like a, you know, dropping a curtain or something like that. And so that was going to be the joke, is that. But instead, I just showed it to him. And what we were going to do is build the building that was going to go around that. And so that's what we did. He's not much of, he doesn't normally do building so much. It's not like something he'll more like, you know, like making the redstone systems and stuff like that.
Sure.
So we both kind of struggled like coming up. It was like a creative block or something. We were just like, so we ended up just kind of messing around for like, you know, 2 hours or whatever. So I showed him around the server and everything. But yeah, it's fun. I was picking his brain on like content creation stuff, his process and all that.
Oh, cool.
And just like, you know, getting tips on, you know, stuff. And so it was fun. It was nice. And then at the end, you know, it was basically like, hey, I wanna, you know, we're gonna stay friends on Discord, you know, send me, you know, show me what, you know, once you finish the build, send me a screenshot, you know, and you know, keep me up to date with what you're doing and stuff like that. So, like,
awesome.
I think that's cool. Like, I really enjoyed that. That's kind of what I was trying to get out of it. So, it was really cool.
Networking,
I was very nervous.
Awesome.
Oh my god, I've been up to like 2 a.m. the last 2 days because I've been trying to like cram everything into this time. But like, it was so worth it. So that was basically what I did this week. Like I said, I will be making a video with it. I don't know when it's going to be out yet because I have to. I want to finish the build that we started because we got like part of a wall and then and there's some funny stuff with that too. Like I don't want to spoil it, but like it was pretty funny when we noticed something and then, yeah, fun times are had. But so yeah, it's I'm very much looking forward to putting it out. I still want to, you know, keep going with the content creation stuff. Yeah, just going to get better each episode I put out, learning more, learning from my mistakes, that type of thing.
Good for you.
So, that's pretty much that. That's it.
I hope he gives your video a shout, too. I hope you get that exposure. It's going to be great.
That would be amazing. I don't have any expectations for that, though.
Yeah, but like, you should.
I would love that, but yeah. I absolutely wouldn't expect that at all. It's more of just, like, that would be cool, but, like, absolutely no expectations. Though, that said, if you do follow the Hermitcraft stuff, I think the next season's coming very soon. He sort of hinted at that. But, like, there is one of the guys on there, Rendog. He put out his finale, which he edited together. He's a big Star Wars fan, so his, like, builds are all Star Wars themed. And so it's a great watch. He, like, did this big old animated movie thing. So that's worth checking out. But, like, yeah, they're all great. Like, I just would – I would absolutely love that. But, like, that's so far in the future. Like, that's so far in the future. But, like, yeah, we had a great conversation about Pixel Poops number 2. That was fun.
Oh, really?
so I got
cool.
to show him the trailer, and he thought that was great. But, yeah, fun times. It was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Good. Happy to hear it. Can't wait to see the video. Yeah. Dark Soccer, let's go to you. How was your gaming week?
I actually did not play Animal Crossing at all.
But because you've played 3 times as much Dead by Daylight.
Maybe. So, yes, I have played a significant amount more of Dead by Daylight than I usually do. I was supposed to start streaming on midnight Saturday, which I guess would have technically been midnight Sunday morning. But I busted my hand in a really stupid way. So, I don't know, those on stream can see them all wrapped up. I banged my hand on the doorknob in the bathroom chasing after Midna.
Uh-oh.
Because she's a brat. And it kind of felt better, you know, like not as bad because I guess it had gone numb. And then Friday night I went into urgent care and they thought it was broken. Like one of the carpals was broken, but it ended up being a bone bruise. So that was good. And after resting it all day yesterday, I'm probably going to be back to streaming tonight. But yeah, lots of Dead by Daylight. I am working on learning new characters. I might tackle Hagatha tonight. We'll see. Or I might tackle Ghostface.
What do you think of the matchmaking they've been testing? Because I know some of the streamers I watch are kind of like, eh. But I got to say, like, for me, like, the matches I was getting, I don't know if they're still doing it, but, like, the past couple mm-hmm. days I was playing, the matches I were getting were great. Like, I was actually getting matched, like, with people that were, like, around my skill. Like, I was playing a level one spirit to knock out some type of daily, and I actually got a noob squad, which for me as a noob spirit, even if I was a level, what, like, 13 killer or whatever I am, was great. And so I was very happy with that. So I hope that for me, I thought I was like, oh, this new matchmaking is great. I'm not getting
really
the bully squad.
It.
Yeah.
Although I do have to say that beforehand, earlier in the week, I did sacrifice a rank one survivor, and that felt really good.
Good job. Good. Congrats. Ninja the Monkey in
chat. With my rank 17 self.
Ninja the Monkey in chat says, yes.
Hi, Stella.
MMR has been awesome. Oh, Stella's visiting
Stella.
Us.
Hi,
hello.
Stella.
Hi.
Kitty.
You want to
Midna's
play Dead by
locked out.
Kitty? Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, I've been vastly enjoying myself with the MMR. It's nice being able to level with the group that I'm playing with and actually find myself getting better. Although I'm pretty sure that if I hit what is it that's right before red? Is it green or purple? Purple?
Yeah.
I think I would want to stay like right in the purples if I make it that far. But I did actually get the full plague outfit from the rift.
Nice.
But I'm not going to use the mask on it because I like seeing her face and having her be pretty.
Fair enough.
And I've been playing Wordscapes, and I'm addicted, of course, because you know me, I'm a word nerd. And it's tourney right now, and for those on stream who might see, I am rank 10 on the tourney, so that makes me happy. Even though it's like not worth anything, I like playing the stupid word game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also playing Fantasian, of course, that's my Tuesday night stream. And I'm super enjoying Fantasian. The story is getting really good. And for me, pacing myself by playing just little pieces of the story every week has made it kind of like tuning into a TV show a little bit. I'm picking up the story like that.
Fair.
So I'm really enjoying Fantasian.
All right. Anything else for your gaming week?
No.
My gaming week, I've been playing way too much Final Fantasy XIV. What else is new? I actually streamed on my own channel, I think twice this week, some Final Fantasy XIV. My ninja hit level 80. That didn't happen on stream. I think that happened yesterday. I wasn't streaming. So I got another class to 80. So I only have, I think, three more to go. Black Mage, Monk, Warrior, I think is all I have that's left. So that'll be fun. I'm going to work on that, that's for sure. Let's see, what else did I check out? I also have been playing Dead by Daylight. Here's the crazy thing, okay? So, like, I got into Dead by Daylight to play Killer because I was like, I don't know if I can play Survivor. The heartbeat stuff messes with me. I don't know if I can do it. But then I just kind of, like, I don't know. I was like, just get over it and play Survivor. And I did. And I've been playing Survivor. I'm up to rank 7 on Survivor. Alan.
Good job.
Alan is not rank 7. And I'm not saying that to rub it in, but I'm also saying it in a way to be like, how did I do this? I don't deserve it because like I only have Dwight's talents, Meg's talents. Those are the only two characters I've gotten to 40. And then I have some of the stuff that's been in the Shrine of Secrets, like a couple of build talents and maybe one other survivor talent I grabbed from there.
The build talents are pretty good.
Yeah, the build talents are very necessary. But
I have to throw this out here. Me, who has never played Survivor and has zero intent to play Survivor anytime soon, I bought Pebble.
That was the other talent that I got, was the Pebble. Yeah.
I had to buy Pebble just because.
So I've been working on leveling up my Survivors, but I don't know how the hell I hit rank 7. I really don't. Because I'm terrible at looping killers still. It's like my big weak spot. But I am pretty good at not being found. that's where I'm, you know, I'm pretty good at the stealthy part of things. Like, I'm good at, like, working on a generator. Then, like, as soon as, like, I know the killer's close, like, crawling away around the wall and then out the window so that they can't see me. You know, tiptoeing out the back door so they can't see that I was there.
Rob, do you have David?
That's the character I'm working on now. So David is level 28.
You need the no shirt cosmetic because I have an aesthetic game crush on Davs.
Yeah, he's
and I call him Davs because he's British, and that's a very valid nickname for David.
But I've been getting random dailies, so I actually got Nia up to like 6 or 7 because I had 2 dailies for Nia, so I kind of had to do it. And then I think I had somebody else. I had
you
to
mean
play
the
too.
Neentity?
Yes, yes,
the Neentity.
So. So that's been my Dead by Daylight. I have yet to stream that game, but I will break the seal on that soon. Don't know when.
That will be when I play Survivor. I will play with you.
All right. That'll be
fun.
But
I'm waiting for Jill.
Well,
I want to be the totem bitch.
So you're waiting until Tuesday.
Yeah, pretty much.
It'll be fun.
Maybe.
So yes, there's that. Ninja the Monkey says, come play with us, Rob. I will, but please keep in mind, I'm rank 7, but I'm not good. Okay. So as long as we all have that expectation, then yes, I'll play. It's fine. All right. Let's see what else, for my game of week. Oh, I should talk about something new. So I played, on Xbox Series X, Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis came out this week. And so I downloaded that and I checked that out. I'm not very far into it where my opinions are really full fledged right now. So I'm not going to really give you like this is my final thought. It is also struggling a little bit with a lot of the things that every new MMO goes through. And that is lag, servers are getting hit crazy, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and a little more time to work that stuff out, especially because the game is free. This isn't like a game I paid $60 for, like, you know, the Mass Effect remaster, where they're still patching it. Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis. I do like that this the prologue that I've been playing, I think, makes for a much better tutorial than throwing 10,000 quests at you like original Phantasy Star Online 2 does. The only downside I can really think of is that I tried to make a new character. Man, there are some ugly characters in that game. I could not make a good looking character. So I went. You can import like your PSO2 character, and that's what I did, and that looked much better. So, So I was playing a little bit of that, and I'll give you more fully realized because I'm only like level 4 or 5. So, and I feel like I'm still in tutorial. So I don't really have full fledged opinions yet. But that is a game I've been sinking a little bit of time into. Although I lost a good 15-20 minutes of progress because apparently if you don't get to a certain point in the prologue, you roll all the way back to an important story point. So that kind of irritated me, but it is what it is. So that was my gaming week. All right. I know we usually do the gaming week at the top of the show, but we had all of that, you know, E3 and Summer Game Fest news that now we're to the point of the show where we're going to get into this very familiar, lovely segment. Let's do the bump.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
But I believe Darksakura's putting a twist on it this week, right, Darksakura?
I am. We're doing this thing.
All right. Tell us about it.
We are. It's a flag!
A flag! Yay! And here it is.
What's the... for those who don't know, Flag is a fucking weird arcade game, and I have picked a ticket spitter because it's fucking weird. The game is called Stinky Feet. There's not really a whole lot to say about this one. You can have either a single-player mode or a four-person mode, but basically you sit on a toilet seat. And you fire water.
Oh, I didn't even see that there was a toilet seat you sat on, because whoever filmed this YouTube lovely put their finger over the lens. A little crazy. Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
But anyway, you fire water at these people's stinky-ass feet. And these people are holding their own nose in the bathtub, and you are shooting water at their stank-ass feet while you're sitting on a toilet. Who puts their fucking toilet in front of their tub? I mean, really. That's kind of stupid. Yes, but anyway, it's a stupid game. It's a fucking weird game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's put out by Betson, I believe. Oh, maybe that's just who's trying to sell it. But it's just fucking weird.
So,
and I mean, I have nothing else I can say about it other than it's fucking weird.
What, Loki? You sound like you have a comment on this.
I had to ask. If you're sitting on a toilet seat and spraying something at feet,
is it pee?
Is it pee? Yeah.
Is it Dark Sakura? The $10,000 question of the week: is it pee?
Bitch, maybe. I have to read the blurb though from this, so I'm just gonna read it verbatim. Okay. It's fun, exciting, different, and simple gameplay that works. Stinky Feet is a hilarious new multi-target water race game that is great for all ages.
And do you know how those feet got stinky?
Bitch. Let me finish doing my cutesy announcer voice, please.
Yes.
Thank you. Follow the light pattern to win. It has a unique bathtub theme. Every gun is a replica of a bathtub faucet, and the seats resemble toilets. You could also link 5 to 12 units. I don't know how many people
how many
are going to play
feet you
Stinky
have.
Feet. Like, it's Stinky Family Feet. Where you come from, Resident Evil 7?
All right. Let's get some of the comments on this segment from our chat room. In no particular order, we have, the heck? What is happening? I need an adult. What the fuck? Okay, then. I need an adult, in all caps. I can't even. Carnival game? Good lord. And
it's actually not water, it's light. But and you pretend.
Dark Sakura, your look is giving me Kathy Griffin vibes. There you go.
I am.
Yeah. I think that's a compliment.
I can't go bad with that. No okay. way. Although I am, hold on, I'll look at the camera because I'm wearing my Ace Pride makeup.
And while she's doing that, Dark Tetsuya says, "Didn't ever expect Flag of the Month to go this way." Do you know what the segment is? Are you new here,
toilet.
Dark Tetsuya? It's called weird arcade game of the month.
I almost did a game called Shoot the Poop, but I'm not gonna do that one.
And VG Realness, who paid you the Kathy Griffin compliment, has followed up with Gorge. In response
Thank
to your makeup.
Thank you, BB.
How about that? All right.
I'll send you some Oreos.
There it is. Your fucking weird arcade game of the month. That's a thing because Canada doesn't have the crazy flavors we do, right?
For the record, I have to digress a little bit and talk about these Thai Lay's chips that I got that are chestnut flavored. They're sweet.
Oh, wow.
And they're fucking delicious.
That sounds good.
I'll get you some.
All right, yeah, please.
And I don't know what kind I'll get you. I just remember I can't get you anything with peanut butter, right? So,
there's a million flavors at the store.
There's like lemon cream, I think, right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now they're getting to the point where they're kind of cycling through the same flavors. We won't really see new ones anymore. So,
yeah, but I don't think I ever sent you lemon, so we'll have to work on that one.
All right. I think a really good one right now is there's like a strawberry one. Is it strawberry donut or something like that? It's a pretty good one.
What?
Yeah. There's like a strawberry donut one.
I haven't tried that. Okay. Yeah. So
I don't know. Yeah. That might be gone by now. But anyway, one thing I wanted to say, by the way, before we get back into rapid fire news. So I was checking out while, some of you guys were talking and doing the segment. I was checking out this arcade cabinet. If you missed, about 30 minutes ago, Alan brought in this mini, Street Fighter II arcade cab into the studio. And I was like, why does it have this giant ass wire to plug in? Well, the deal is, and it's on the back of the box. I don't know if you can see it. You can actually hook two of these machines together through the wire because it's Street Fighter, right? So, and it only has one joystick. So it actually has a link cable. It has a link cable like it's a fucking Game Boy.
Oh, my goodness.
So you link
That's
the two machines
pretty
together.
Pretty rad, though.
Right? So there you go.
But I don't know if it's neat. $50 worth of rad for a game that, you know.
But it is bigger. So if you remember the mini cabs that are at my house, this is definitely bigger. I don't know, like. They don't just have the screen, but they have that whole decoration that shows all the World Warriors like around it. So that's kind of, oh, it's Champion Edition, so I get to play the bosses too. That's kind of cool. Yeah, wow. Head-to-head play by linking two devices. I can't believe 2021, and my husband just bought me a device with a link cable. Love it. All right. Anyhow, let's get into some rapid-fire news. So, believe it or not, we had all of these announcements from digital media events, but there were other things that happened in the industry, too. Let's talk about some of them pretty quickly here. Loki, I think you have a couple quick headlines, right?
Yes. So Game Builder Garage, as I mentioned, came out this week, and they do have a demo available on the Switch. So if you want to check it out, you probably should do that because it looks pretty awesome. I have yet to recreate Pixel Poops number 2 in it yet, but that may be coming because why not? Hopefully you can download the demo because they've had a recent firmware update that actually prevents downloading games after the update. There are some errors with it, but I don't know if it's a lot of systems that were affected by it, but hopefully they will be getting that updated soon.
I think I saw Flocko tweeting about that. Uh-oh. Sorry, Flocko. Hope you're able to fix it.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for that. And then last but not least, also, there was some announcements during the Summer Games Fest, talking about Netflix series again, that they have the Cuphead series, Don't Deal with the Devil, that Wayne Brady is going to be King Dice in that, which I think is some pretty good casting, actually. Mm-hmm. It looks interesting. So we'll check that out when that series eventually hits Netflix.
Yeah, that Cuphead series looks pretty cool. I mean, which, of course, the game has amazing art direction. It lends itself very well to a show like that. So it looked very, very cool to me.
Well, it's based off old cartoons, so it makes sense that, looks like an old cartoon now.
Exactly, a new old cartoon. Yeah. Dark Sakura, how about you? What do you have for us?
Oh, a couple of things. Oh my God, I just completely lost where I was. So today there was a really, really fun Dead by Daylight tournament. It was called RaftCon. It was organized by Hydro. It was just really, really a lot of fun. It was all for charity. It was raising money for the Trevor Project, which they exceeded $2,000. I want to say it was something like around $2,100, a little bit past that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really exciting. I mean, if you're into Dead by Daylight, that is, there was some kind of real nail biter moments. It ended up Killer Side losing color one, which honestly, I don't think anyone was really surprised about that one. He's pretty hardcore, awesome nurse main.
I heard he had to do a pretty big match as Hag though.
Yeah. So this something. One. Hmm. Well, it was the finals, the start of the finals, which were two matches each. The other one in the finals was Laurie Bird, who also was a nurse main. And they had Hawkins, which is terrible for nurse, right? I mean, it's also terrible for a lot of people, but I digress. So Losing Color went the path of Hag, which worked out great, and Laurie Bird went the path of twins that worked out not so great. But the survivor team that won was the Mod Squad, which honestly everybody did such a good job. Haslin's team did a really good job. I was really impressed by just the overall skill. And this would be, like, if I were better at the game, this is the kind of matches I would want to do because they're just really engrossing and just really fun to participate in. And I had a great time watching. I was really invested.
I hope they put some of the highlights up on YouTube. My only complaint, and I understand why they did it today because it's Pride Month and everything, but my only complaint is that they chose the E3 day to do it. And it's like there's all these big pressers and I've got to pay attention to them or I have nothing to talk about tonight. So I hope some of those matches are on YouTube because I'd still love to be able to support it somehow.
It was like 65 different streamers involved in it. And like some of the people who, I mean, I watch regularly Mithril Onion, a good streamer, King Bay.
You watch all 65.
I don't watch all of them.
Are you sure? I cannot go into a Dead by Daylight channel and not suddenly see Dark Sakura pipe up in chat. I might even be like, who's this new person I've never watched before? Oh, this is an interesting stream. And then all of a sudden, Dark Sakura OLR, like, hi, good play, you know, or whatever comment she's making. I'm like, my God, she's everywhere. No, but I say that with love. You know, I say that with absolute and total love. I love that you're so into it.
Well, I mean, but like a lot of the ones in here that I'm like the most hangout in would be like Kill Cannon and King Bay and Twilight King, Nick and Prince. I mean, just really. But I was really impressed as far as the survivors go, and not just because I really enjoy watching Le Pen and think he's a fantastic just person, but the way Le Pen did Kate and was so good at hiding. Mm-hmm. And not being found at all.
Ah, that's my style. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I was really impressed. And still being able to participate with other, you know, go to do rescues, do gens, do everything. So I was pretty impressed.
Dark Sakura, will you help me convince Shad Starzik to play the game already?
Well,
it's on Game Pass. He can play it.
I'm actually kind of floored that he's not.
Yeah, I know. All right.
But anyway, the last I'm going to say about this is congrats to everybody who participated. Thank you for doing such good work for charity and putting on an amazing show. Thank you to Hydro for organizing everything. And I really am just so impressed. I really love the way the communities come together for a great cause.
All right. Props to everybody involved. A lot of names I recognize too.
Yeah. The next thing is pertinent to my interest because so there's a new Castlevania series that Netflix is going to release that stars Richter Belmont, which makes me super happy because then it's all Dracula X stuff. So of course there's Maria Renard, who is his sister-in-law, because you know he. And Richter is a descendant of Sypha and Trevor. I mean, because all the rest of the Belmonts are. So I am really hoping just the whole thing is Dracula X related. I mean, I don't know if we're going to have little Maria, which would be funny because they. And of course, the all thing is set during the French Revolution as well. But I'm just super, super happy because Richter is my favorite Belmont, and the Dracula X and Dracula XX Nocturne in the Moonlight. Those are like two of my favorite games.
All right. Lots of good stuff. Lots of good stuff in that Netflix event. That's for sure. All right. Let's go travel around the world and check out some games that are coming out this week in world release dates. Loki,
I had one more thing to mention.
Oop, my bad. Go for it.
Yeah, because I had forgotten to. It has been confirmed from a release by SteelSeries that for the Resident Evil chapter for Dead by Daylight, it has confirmed that there are legendary cosmetics for Leon and Jill that will have... Chris and Claire.
Oh, cool.
So they are... It had been hinted before. DBD Leaks made a mention of it. But SteelSeries let the whole cat out of the bag that it's their legendaries.
We'll get, maybe Shane getting to play as Chris, maybe we'll finally break him. Who knows?
And I'll just read it. It says, the Resident Evil collection available via the in-game store includes two legendary sets for Leon and Jill that bring Chris... and Claire Redfield into the fog.
Which version of Chris? Apparently this is very important to Shane. I would imagine it's the RE2 remake, right? Because that's what Jill and Nemesis are based off of, right?
Well, I mean, Chris wasn't in RE2, probably be... I would reckon the first one. But, I mean, but keep in mind, they're going to do more and more cosmetics for it, so I'm sure we would get a Village Chris before too long.
All right.
So you can get your gruff, buff, and tough, grizzled daddy, Chris.
All right.
I'm just going to call him Daddy Chris.
Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. We'll start in the U.S., Loki.
It's a slow week.
Yeah, well, it was a huge week this last week. So
yeah, and really we're only getting two games that are being ported over to the the new gen system. So we've got the Elder Scrolls Online. It's getting a dedicated PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X version. And Metro Exodus Complete Edition is also coming to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. That's it.
Looks a little light in Japan this week as well. Japan is getting a game on the Switch called Bakumatsu Renka Shinsegumi is out this week. And I am not familiar with this franchise. It is from D3.
Wait, was that Shinsengumi?
Yeah, all one word, yeah.
Yeah, so Shinsen, so it's a new, I think based off of a newer anime series. I've seen some cosplay stuff out for it yet. Mm. But I mean, the Shinsengumi was like a real group, like during the whole Meiji period. And there's, like, they've been in, like, a bajillion anime, manga, comic books, just different iterations of characters based on Shinsengumi.
Looking at this description, too, it looks like this is an older release that's kind of, like, high-res for the Switch. So it's kind of like a re-release for Switch. Because, yeah, then when I look at the PlayStation 4, it's pretty dry this week. And the PlayStation 5 in Japan this week, that red controller is out. But that's really it. It's otherwise, it's a very slow week in Japan as well. How about the UK, Dark Soccer? Is any different there?
Not really. So what we have, oh gosh, I scrolled too far because British dates are a little bit different than how ours are listed. So what we have is on the 17th, we have Roguebook for PC. On the 18th, we have Vader Immortal, a Star Wars VR series. And that's about it.
Excellent. All right. Let's get a few more stories in here. Some other things going on. I guess this next story is kind of about E3, right, Loki? But it's yeah, something everybody's talking about.
It's really stupid. I think it's the authentic E3 experience, but at home. So we've complained about E3 in the past and how you have media credentials, but you're not really media because they're, you know, only going to let certain media outlets look at this stuff. Well, that's what the ESA is basically saying regarding co-streaming some of the E3 events, is that they have a short list of exclusive, basically folks that are approved to, you know, actually broadcast that stuff, and that they don't really authorize anybody else to do it. I'm thinking that it could be that they're whitelisting those so that they don't get copyright claimed, or maybe it could be just that, you know, they want to be responsible for if you're co-streaming and you get, you know, DMCA copyright claimed or something like that, that you can hold the ESA responsible, like anyone would actually think to do that, but I don't know. To me, it seems like it's more of just like, you know, they're being dicks.
Well, and E3 is just behind the curve. You get the sense that the ESA is not run by people that are current on their technology. And that is very, this is something I've called them out on before, is that for the type of organization they are, they should know their shit when it comes to technology. And it really feels like they don't. And it's very frustrating because am I incorrect that they leaked more data again from their registration database this time? I thought I heard that was the thing this year. Chat, please feel free to jump in and help me recall.
Yeah, I don't remember if that
thank
happened,
you.
But they basically...
Black Compat says yes, and S-J-1-Hermat says they did. That's what I thought. And so it's one of those things where it's like, well, thank God I didn't sign up to be your partner to stream because you would have just given out my address. You would have doxed me in exchange. So it's like the ESA just needs to grow the fuck up in a lot of ways. I know that sounds very rude. And yeah, it's rude because I think for what they're supposed to be for this industry, it's very frustrating that they're lagging behind in all these different ways. Like, so, wake up. Have you ever watched a Twitch stream, ESA? Do you know what co-streaming is?
Well, here's what they said. Maybe they're walking it back a little bit, but they said that basically that there was over 1,300 submissions. They only approved less than 100 creators for the brands for official co-streaming. They said that the unauthorized streams are still welcome to co-stream, but it won't be in the official capacity. Whatever that means. So it is less about being concerned about them DMCA and more of them being dicks. I mean, that's really, they just completely made that clear, is that...
I also think it's ridiculous that, like, you know, they had to have, okay, so, like, let's say the Square Enix thing was streamed on Twitch Gaming, but they had to strip out all the licensed music for the Twitch Gaming thing because the musical industry might come after them otherwise. Like, we need to then stop helping the music industry by putting licensed music in trailers. Like, I want to see the game industry fight the fuck back. Like, stop putting licensed music in trailers. Then fine, you don't want us to use your music, we won't use it. And they need to push back on that stuff because it's ridiculous. Like, what the music, and I said this a little bit on Bobby's show, I think the thing that pisses me off the most, I swear to God, if I ever ran for public office, which I don't think I would ever do, but this would be the thing, I would ban these bot claims. I would say robots should not be filing copyright claims. People should be filing copyright claims, because that way you can measure intent. And I think that's a huge part of what this is. Like, yes, if you're running a stream where you're willfully just, like, playing music on demand and all this stuff, then you probably should be stricken down and not be on Twitch. But you know what? Oh, my God, I accidentally played, you know, Grand Theft Auto and streamed, like, 2 seconds of a Guns N' Roses song or something. Like, you should not lose your whole fucking well-being online because of something like that. We need reform on this law.
What do you think got me into making my own music?
We have a government that can't do shit right now. And it's so far, like, I'm like, well, we need the government to solve the copyright problem. They're not going to.
No, this is not even a priority.
So it's,
especially when it works out for them. I mean.
It's just stupid. Anyway, let's see. Shad Starzik in chat says, stripping out the music from the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer would have taken like 50% of the neatness away from it. Guess what? I saw it without any of the music because I was watching on the Twitch Gaming thing, so I didn't see it with the music.
What they should do is replace all, they should have a database of really bad recorder covers of all of these songs and just replace
kazoo.
It with all
kazoo. They're on kazoo and zither.
Kazoos and, yeah. Just replace them all.
Let's see. So SG100 Matt is also clarifying what happened with the press information. On the press site for E3, you can search fellow press people and look at their profile that had their personal info, like phone numbers, personal emails, etc. Oh, because I'm sure nobody had their password as password 123 or, you know, the answer to one of those Facebook memes going around or something. Like, I'm sure your information was super safe. It was only mm-hmm. available to other press.
Mm-hmm.
Black and Pat in chat says their initial statement, because I got the same email as Jeff, was to beware and co-stream at your own risk of terms of service violations on the platform you choose. And I would think that the ESA, if they were an industry that is truly represents the gaming industry and gaming culture, would be pushing back on the music industry, or at least trying to come to some sort of agreement on this, so that we don't have to suffer. But the ESA doesn't give a fuck about us. Mm. And that's the reality.
They care about their bottom line. They care about the money that they can make. Yes. And removing any form of... It's all about control. It really is about controlling the whole thing.
And Black Compat says, as a result, I canned co-streaming the Xbox briefing today for safety. Now, on one hand, Microsoft did kind of give express permission on their own. However, that being said, I don't blame you. I absolutely don't blame you. You don't want to take the risk. Why take the risk? Especially when we've just acknowledged earlier in the show, you've worked very hard on your channel to this point where you're about to become a Twitch partner. If anybody that looks at your application has a brain, you're going to be a Twitch partner. And, you know, and this whole thing. And they lost you out of this whole fear thing, and I think that's a really unfortunate thing, because I know you gals are big Xbox fans, you big huge supporters of Microsoft from day one. They really missed something by not having you co-stream today, and it's because of all, and it's not Microsoft's fault, it's not your fault, it's all this other fuckery. And at the end of the day, you don't want to lose what you've built, and I get that. I totally get that. Let's see. Tiger Claw in chat says, streaming the Guardians of the Galaxy game is going to be difficult due to the game having licensed music. Won't you be able to... didn't they say something about a streamer safe mode? Or I might be thinking of a different game. But that is an interesting thing we're in now, is that games have to have streamer safe modes and two soundtracks. Because, again, we can't work our shit out with the music industry.
Mm. You would think that they would save money not even having the licensed music in there. I know it compromises their... vision, I guess, but
Yeah.
You can save money. They like saving money, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I just can't with people.
Phoenix 7726 says, I'm not saying boycotting E3 is a wise idea, but, well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when they come back. And let's also keep in mind, this week was not just about E3. We also had Summer Game Fest. We also had several independent things that were rising up. And, you know, obviously I said Summer Game Fest had some of its own issues, but there was also a lot of positives about that event. And so maybe E3 is starting to get a little bit of competition. And I think that's a very good thing at this point, to be honest.
So. Yeah.
Anyway. All right, let's move on. Speaking of Microsoft stuff, I think this is very exciting. And something I'm kind of surprised they didn't really talk a lot about at the event today was they didn't really get into xCloud and how that's all going to work or any of that. But I guess maybe they're going to save that for a special event or something like that. But there are Xbox video game streaming sticks that are going to be on the way. So a few days before the whole live event, apparently some executives sat down to talk about what's going on here. There was a little pre-recorded media thing between Phil Spencer and Satya Nadella, who was talking about Game Pass and Azure and all that, and then talked about how Xbox is working with TV manufacturers around the world to get Game Pass on TVs, which makes a lot of sense. I think PlayStation had a thing with some it was probably Sony TVs, but I think PlayStation was on some TVs. Like that whole PlayStation Now, I think, was on some TVs. But so it would make a lot of sense that Xbox goes there too. If you have Game Pass Ultimate, you're going to have the cloud ability, and so you'd be able to play Xbox titles with just a controller. So you have your Xbox controller, you hook it up to the little streaming stick, and bang, now you have the cloud. I love this idea because this means I'll be able to play video games in the bedroom from my Series X in the living room. I think this is great. I hope the sticks aren't too expensive, but I don't see why they would be. So yeah, they're developing standalone streaming devices you can plug into your TV or monitor. So it sounds a lot like a Chromecast. So I think this sounds awesome. I can't wait to check this out.
So is this streaming from your Xbox Series X, or is this just streaming through xCloud?
Just
streaming from the web?
My understanding is both exist. I'm not sure which of the two it is here, but I think you can choose which it is. I think one is called one thing and one is called the other. I think when you're doing like Xbox cloud gaming and that is like in the cloud, but when you're doing Xbox, I think there's something like Play Anywhere or something like that. That's when you can play from your Series X.
Got it.
Yeah. So we'll see. Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
Well, hacker's going to hack and Steeler's going to steal. So they have stolen the source code to FIFA 2021 and EA's Frostbite engine.
You mean like FIFA 19?
Yeah. Anyway, on a few of the different hacking forums, it was found that they had taken more than 780 gigabytes of data from EA. According to the screenshots that were shown, it includes the source code for FIFA 2021 and source code and tools for the Frostbite game engine. And other assets look like different software development kits, and they're trying to, of course, sell these assets. They said that no player data had been accessed, so there's no risk to player privacy. But they've tried to plug up that hole really quickly. And of course, I mean, it's not the first time this has happened. CD Projekt Red got a ransomware attack earlier in the year. And they eventually sold the source code to that game, too. But now EA is saying that they're not going to be affected the same way, but that remains to be seen.
Well, I saw an article that's like completely speculative. I think it's more of like, I wish this would happen, where they're saying that they could dig through the source code for like, say, FIFA or something like that to see how they use loot boxes and whatever to manipulate people into spending money on that stuff. They expose them, basically. They're never going to do that. They're in it for the ransom, and that's it. There's no white hat hackers in that group at all, I'm assuming.
Although if someone did want to, say, pay for said source code, right? Then use that knowledge for an altruistic purpose, maybe.
No, they're selling it for $28
million. I don't have $28 million.
Well, especially with all the things that...
fucking FIFA.
Especially with all the things that EA kind of sells, like the FIFA cards and things like that. If somebody got the source code, they could really exploit that. I would think, and kind of build a black market of fake stuff. You know what I mean? It could be very
Or maybe they could fix Mass Effect Andromeda.
Isn't that the truth? All right, anyhow, a few more stories for you guys. Loki.
All right. So I'm honestly not surprised at all. I'm surprised it took this long. So we have a story about Roblox being sued by music publishers for $200 million. Regarding illegal use of songs from numerous artists. I've seen so many games on Roblox that my kids play. They just have like all this licensed music just all over the place because it's kids making it a lot of times and they don't know. They're just like, whatever, it's mine, I can put it in there. It's all over the place. So apparently the National Music Publishers Association is suing them. That they're making hundreds of millions of dollars by requiring users to pay every time that they upload music onto the platform, or that they should be making them pay that. So they said it points out some of the major artists affected: Ariana Grande, Imagine Dragons, Deadmau5. That's sure, it's everything. It's all over the place. Like, and it's not even necessarily just music; it's IP as well. Like, there's so much IP theft on there.
Yeah,
it's very unregulated. Well, it will be soon,
right?
That's a good way to do it. It's a Wild West for right now, but that's going to be locked down pretty fast.
Teach the kids the lessons early.
Unfortunately.
Yep.
Intellectual property, gotta smack it down.
This one, you know, it's funny. Even though I was very critical of like the music industry and needing to modernize a little bit ago, this one I'm a little more sympathetic to them on, because the clear difference here is that a lot of these Roblox add-ons are being sold for money and all that. So I kind of think, yeah, the music industry kind of has a right to step. But maybe they're very frustrated and they're suing all of Roblox because they can't bot it. They can't find this stuff through bots. So they're just like, we're going to sue Roblox into oblivion.
Well, this is exactly what happened to YouTube. And so it's basically, if they don't have a process where it's regulated like this, they're going to lock it down. It could be like Twitch, where we end up seeing, I don't think they're going to like ban you. I mean, they could ban users, I guess, but like, I don't think it's more of just like removing the offending content. And a lot of the games out there that have like a lot of this licensed music thrown in, it's just, they're like trash. But I don't think it's any like more of the popular games that are doing this. It's more of just like all the trash that people make.
Sure.
Like, because anybody can make stuff and post games on Roblox. It's just kids that do that just think, oh, well, I'm going to go to YouTube and I'm going to steal this sound effect, or oh, I'm going to go to YouTube and I'm going to steal this music and throw it in there. And they don't know. They don't know anything about, their IP and stuff like that. So, like I said, I said this months ago that this is bound to happen. So,
yeah,
here we are.
All right. Last tonight, before we get to emails and all that other good stuff, we have a very interesting promotion coming from Jackbox Games, because, of course, they have Jackbox Party Pack 7 to promote. Apparently in the next week, Jackbox is going to be letting you hire free practice friends. You get practice friends, and what they're going to do, they're going to remind you what it's like to be around other people. You sign up, and you get to compete for time slots, and then you get 30 minutes of judgment-free Jackbox Party Pack game time. And so the Jackbox Party Pack folks, they all must be hired improv actors or something. They're going to help you remember how to interact with people, because, you know, it's been a long 15 months. So,
but I don't plan on interacting with people ever again.
Well, then maybe this isn't the promotion for you, perhaps.
I'm living my hikikomori fantasy, yo.
In fact, the interesting thing about it, and the thing that I think they may have missed, is that the last thing I want to do right now is a virtual hangout. Like, that virtual hangouts, I've been doing that for 15 months. I don't want to do it anymore. So I think that may be where they made an error.
You know what?
But I,
we need a brunch.
I
so that
brunch.
We can learn how to hang out with people.
I've done brunch a couple times.
And then there's food.
Yes.
I have not been to a brunch.
What happened to Miss? I don't want to see anybody.
Well, that's different. I'm talking about like people, quote fingers, people.
Oh, when you say you don't want to see people, but you do want to see a mimosa. That's.
I want to see a mimosa and I want to hang out with my friends.
All right.
Fair my enough. Friends are better than people.
Bobby in chat is saying, bring OLR back in person. Well, we'll see what happens.
but I have a really good mic, and you can wear my pajamas.
You can bring the mic here. You can wear your pajamas here. But or we can come there.
But you know, if I go out there, we could do sushi before the show.
Yes.
We haven't done sushi before the show in a hot minute.
That is true. Now you're starting to think of some of the pros.
Yeah, but then that means I would have to like rush right home to stream. We'll talk it out. We'll talk it out.
All right, we'll figure it out. All right, yeah. Let's figure some things out with the live interactions that are via chat. If you have anything else you want to add there, or you want to get to our mailbag, participate at orangelaundryradio.com is the place to send us emails. I'm also going to get to a few of the stories from Discord. So let's get to the mailbag. Participate at orangelaundryradio.com. I think I saw a couple emails tonight, right, Dark Sakura?
Yeah, there's a few. So I'll go ahead and start with the earliest one. Hi, Rob. Enthusiastically wave at Rob. Regarding No Man's Sky, No Man's Sky is a game I bought at launch and quickly became bored with. This isn't because I was dissatisfied with the trailers or the hype of the game, because I do not buy into the trailers or hype of anything. Like Flavor Flav said, don't believe the hype. Rather, I became bored with No Man's Sky because I didn't see the point. There wasn't a narrative to follow in the exploration game, nor was there an objective for me to follow that I really cared to follow. I just didn't see the point. So I stopped playing No Man's Sky because I didn't see the... You said you didn't see the point. That's repetitive, dude. I'm reconsidering playing No Man's Sky because I still own it on PS4. So Rob, as someone who has played No Man's Sky more than I have and clearly sees more of a value to the game than I had in my initial playthrough, is there a point? Please be as open and broad as you wish. I'm open to being persuaded. Stay care, Redertainment.
Well, the number one thing I could say is that you already bought the game. Why do I need to convince you? Like, you're not going to be spending any money to get in there and play it again. So my thing is, you already spent. They already got your money. You might as well get your money's worth and go check out what they've changed. Like, you know, if this is a conversation on me trying to convince you to buy the game, then I guess that might be kind of a different thing. But if you already have it, like, I think you're kind of just making up excuses not to play it, which is fine. I do that all the time. I'm not saying like, oh, how dare you? Please. I just talked about earlier in the show about, oh, I was playing this thing for like 5 minutes and then, oh, got distracted by Outer Worlds. I was playing Outer Worlds for a little bit and then, whoop. Ended up flipping and going somewhere else. One of these days I'll get back to Outer Worlds. One of these days. But, you know, is there... Yes, they added a better story from what was there in the beginning. But I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's got the depth of something like Mass Effect. No. But there, it is a better tutorial. It is a better, like, quest that walk you piece by piece through the game that you don't feel like you're literally lost in space. Like, there is a thread that will help you move things along and, cough, and will get you to a point where now you feel empowered enough to be able to explore on your own. And I think that might, and from what your email is saying, that sounds like it was the biggest piece that's missing for you, is that the original version of No Man's Sky really didn't give you shit. And now it's got, you know, a full compendium built into the game, and most importantly, quests that walk you through every piece of the way. You already own the game, my friend. Get your money out of it.
Do the thing.
Do the thing. All right. Next up.
All right. What game genre name is most in need of an update or change? This comes from D.
Ooh.
I don't think any of them do. They're all fairly accurate.
No, I know. Walking Sim. What? Walking Sim needs to change. Because I think that term originally was used kind of like in a negative context, like, oh, all you do in these games is you go around and you walk, you know, when describing things like everybody's gone to the rapture, Dear Esther, whatever, what remains of Edith Finch.
Technically, though, that's more of a community colloquialism. It's not an actual genre.
Yeah, but I'm worried it's one of those things where it's like Xerox. You say it so much, it sticks. You know what I mean? Like,
well, if that happens, it happens. It's just the nature of language.
Yeah. I guess. But I mean, that's the one that comes to mind. I think the walking sim that I'm seeing kind of out there, I try to kind of, like, I love walking sim games, but I think it would be better if they were called something else. Like, I don't know if we talk like narrative heavy or.
Well, that's what they're called. Like, Everyone's Gone to the Rapture is, I think, typically is what called just narrative game.
Yeah. I think that's a better label for it.
Well, but what it's actually called. The walking sim is more a community colloquialism for it.
All right.
It's not actually the genre name.
Loki?
What about like Myst or something like that? Because that almost reminds me of like a walking sim, I guess, unless there's not really puzzles to solve in, say, a quote-unquote walking sim game. I don't know.
Even something like Gone Home had puzzles in it. I mean, it was a little light, but it was there.
They're more like an adventure puzzler.
Yeah.
You know, but, or I like what Sia Tiberi says, enhanced visual novel. I mean, that's what some of these are, but they're more considered. I think the genre is actually called like narrative adventure.
Yeah. Enhanced visual novel makes me think of something like Hot Tuffle Boyfriend or something like that.
That's dating sim.
That's, yeah, like, kind, like that's kind of what I, yeah. So I
like an actual
things.
Visual novel would be something like, well, I mean, I had like a bunch of visual novel games like that were based off of anime, like back in the day, where you just basically follow the story and little bits of it are animated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah.
Anyway, I mean, that was the thing that popped in my head with the question. So, because I mean, I'm adventure, music game, retro, fantasy, RPG. I don't have a problem with any of those. I kind of want to, D, I want you to email us back. How would you answer this question? Because I'm kind of curious. Like, and I'm kind of curious, like, because sometimes I feel like maybe you got this question from something you want to see different. And so I'm like curious what that is. So.
Oh, hell, Rob. Look at what just happened in chat.
Oh, we just hit our point reward goal for episode one of OLR with commentary. So we have to figure out a day that's going to work for that. Yeah, we just raised 150,000 points. That's the most we've ever had for
Thanks,
a VOD
Shane.
Reward. Yeah, Shane was the lucky one to cross the line there. Are you, I don't know if you guys, are you guys generally available on Wednesdays?
I work until 8:30.
Oh, drat. What nights?
But. I can make arrangements.
Well, because I was going to say June 23rd, which is the actual birthday of the show, is a Wednesday this year. And I was thinking that would be a good day for it. But if you
I'll
work.
Make it happen.
You make it happen? All right, I'll we'll talk offline. We'll talk offline. Don't hold us to that day yet, chat, because clearly arrangements have to be made. But that is, we're going to aim around that day, if nothing else. Sound good? All right.
But it may not be in person because I'd probably have to just get right off work and hop on.
Oh, no, I don't think this has to be in person. I think we can do it over Discord or whatever. Yeah.
All right. Last email.
Yes.
Hello, LR. I was super excited when I heard about Taito's upcoming mini arcade cabinet based on the full-size Egret 2 Candy Cab. I was also super excited to hear about it mentioned on OLR, but some of the amazing and coolest things about this mini were not mentioned, so I had no choice but to enlighten you all as to why this will be the best mini gaming thingy ever.
Does it have a link cable, YYR?
I'm going to finish reading. Thank you. Of course, we know that Taito has a history of filled with amazing classic games, and we've been promised 40 of them in this thing. Most of the titles have yet to be announced, but already we're given Kicks, which I love, Bubble Bobble, Elevator Action, Rastan, and the iconic Space Invaders. Based on that, I feel like it's already safe to say this will have the best game selection of any minicab to date. If you grabbed or simply paid attention to Sega's Astro City Mini Arcade late last year, or one of the biggest... One of the biggest complaints about it was its widescreen monitor. None of the classic games use widescreen. After all, the new Taito cab will not cheap out in this regard. It's coming with an honest-to-goodness 4:3 monitor. But the coolest thing about the screen is that it rotates 90 degrees, just like on the full-size cabinet. This will allow you to play all of the included vertically oriented games the way they were meant to be played without scaling down the graphics to the size of postage stamp. Like the Astro City Mini, Taito's new cab will be released alongside a full-sized arcade stick. The stick is meant to be an exact replica of the original Egret II Candy Cab's control panel. However, there's more. In addition to that arcade stick, Taito is also releasing a full-size replica panel containing both a paddle controller and trackball. Not only does this mean we'll be getting some of Taito's greatest games that uses control methods, but also its standard USB plug will allow us to use it with emulators on PC as well. Paddle and trackball controllers are not readily available in plug-and-play solutions, so I'm super excited to get this. This is a long email. The paddle and trackball panel include an SD card with 10 additional games, bringing the total up to 50, including such classics as Arkanoid, Strike Bowling, and Camel Tree, which is one of my personal favorites. And just in case you missed that, yes, you can add additional games with SD cards. None of the other mini cabs have this capability. Hopefully there will be many more card releases. You can switch the joystick between 8-way and 4-way operation. Instruction cards are included that sit right on top of the cab. Never mind the fact that Taito games have some of the best soundtracks before video game soundtracks were even cool. There are a million reasons to get this. You should probably go to Amazon Japan and pre-order the Everything Bundle right now that includes the mini cab, the paddle, the trackball controller with its bonus games, a full-size cab, the paddle and trackball controller. Wait, I'm aligned back. The full-size joystick, an additional controller, which is far more compact, the instruction cards and art book, a collection of soundtrack CDs, and more for the low, low price of $410 plus shipping. Do it now. Of course, there are smaller packages available if you don't actually want all of those things, but why wouldn't you want all of those things? Phew, sorry that was long. A little late for that. But I hope my excitement came across. I can't wait to play this thing. Yeah, Forza Horizon 5 looks pretty cool, too. Have a great week. Already pre-ordered Aaron YYR.
Hey, I appreciate the long email with all the details on that because, I knew about, like, the screen rotating and things like that, but, you know, you really went into some detail there on that. 400 might be a bit much, but then, of course, I say that, and then in the same breath is like, but I'll pay it for Tron. So, clearly we all have our faves and we all have those weak spots and the goddammit moment with the wallet and all that stuff. So, this is one of yours and Tron is one of mine, but I think you make a good pitch for it. If I had that type of extra money on the side, I'd love to pick one up, but I just don't see that happening right now, but maybe in the future we'll see. All right. Was that it for emails?
That was it.
That was it for emails. I was trying to scan.
That was a lot of email to read, though, Rob.
It was a lot of emails tonight, but we hope you'll bring more. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Some things from the Twitterverse. That Simpsons Arcade 1-Up was finally officially confirmed this
Good.
Week. And yes, that's happening. But no word on the Tron thing yet, although I guess we imagine that will happen. A really cool thing that was posted in our Discord, and if you haven't seen this YouTube, definitely Google on YouTube or look it up, this 40 musicians welcome back Soken to Final Fantasy 14. Or Bobby posted the link in our Discord, and I encourage you to join our Discord. VogNetwork.com, that's VOGNetwork.com/Discord, and you can help get stories to catch our attention throughout the week and share cool little links like that. Obviously, we had that story a couple weeks ago with Soken revealing his battle with cancer at the Final Fantasy 14 Virtual Fan Fest this year. So that whole the 40 musicians collaborating to kind of welcome him back and really kind of do a thank you, I think is really cool. I think this is really cool. SSJ 100 Matt shared a hidden 1984 level in Tetris Effect that is a throwback to the original computer terminal, the Electronica 60. And that's what the Tetris game was made for originally. And it's got a really cool look to it. I know there's an old, like, maybe like 91 or something like that level in Tetris Effect that's really cool looking. This one looks cool too. Like, it really looks like an old ass computer terminal, but Tetris Effect in it. And I think that's neat. Just another reason to fire up an old game like that again. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And then one other story that I think is just, yeah, just barely from this week. Facebook Gaming is trying to lure some folk. Tiger Claw shared this one. Oh, no, I shared this one. But what? It was a discussion that Tiger Claw. Oh, because Tiger Claw had posted the thing about that you will no longer be able to use Facebook to log into Twitch. And that started a much longer conversation. And then I had found that story on Kotaku earlier this week about how Facebook Gaming is apparently going to be giving 100% of proceeds to their partners for a couple years to try to make the Facebook Gaming revenue share platform a little more lucrative. And as much as I don't like Facebook, and I will not go to Facebook Gaming unless a lot changes. I mean, I guess I shouldn't ever permanently close the door or burn the bridge down completely, but a lot would have to change. I'm pretty happy here on Twitch. But I think it would be great if the competition and all that maybe did light a fire to Twitch to maybe increase the revenue sharing we get a little bit here. Because right now it's 50-50. It would be nice if it was a little bit higher. But I suppose, you know, Twitch as it is, Amazon has questions about the profitability and all that stuff. So maybe we got to be careful. But I don't know. I just feel like there's got to be other way. Maybe if Twitch got into some of these things like creating merchandise, like, you know, right now we use a Streamlabs store and other companies use other types of third-party stores to sell merchandise. And it seems a little silly when Twitch is backed by Amazon that they didn't get on the merch store thing first. I just think there's other ways and other ideas and things they could come up with for revenue sharing that then they could give more of a cut of bits and subs. But certainly that Facebook thing's going to give a little added pressure, although it should, you know, if you really look at all the if, then, buts, the footnotes and everything that really goes with that Facebook deal, it's not going to be like everybody. It's going to be some people to try to, you know, lure them from the Twitch and all that stuff. So something to keep in mind. The headline was a little deceiving in that regard, as it doesn't get into all the footnotes. But again, we all know headlines are set up to be clickbait on where? Facebook. So, all right. Anyway, that's it for the Discord comments tonight. And so I think that is about going to wrap it up for our show tonight. Unless, let me check in with Loki and or Dark Sakura for any last minute stories.
I mean, one of the other announcements that they had, you know, Netflix wise, did we talk about Lance Reddick being a Wesker?
No, we didn't. But yes, that's a great thing to mention. The whole Resident Evil cast being revealed.
Yeah, so that's going to be pretty awesome.
Awesome. Dark Tetsuya is bringing up from the Arcade 1-Up side of things the Class of 81 cabinet that was not leaked, but they announced that. It's going to be like a Ms. Pac-Man and Galaga kind of combined thing. And that's got, but there's much more to that as well. So it's pretty cool. Oh, thank you, Matt, for reminding me. Intellivision Amico is having a press thing tomorrow. 9:45 in the morning our time Pacific, 12:45 Eastern. So that could be interesting because they are launching this holiday. So we'll get a little more you know, they've been kind of putting out more and more details about the games, but I really think we're going to get a sense of what is this all going to look like this holiday? What are all the games and all that stuff? So we know a lot, and we know I think all the free ones at this point. But we can't forget that Intellivision Amico is a thing, and that's happening this holiday, so they're going to have their press thing tomorrow. All right. Anything else? All right.
I'm playing with the light on my mic on the camera.
That's fine.
It's weird.
I think we will wrap things up. Thank you guys so much for checking out our show tonight, downloading our show, and checking out Orange Lounge Radio. Appreciate you guys. If you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on air, then what are we going to do? So a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes goes an awful long way as well. And we always appreciate that type of support. Thank you. Thank you so much. Again, we had a hype train going on earlier tonight. I will acknowledge everybody after the credits here. But I just want to say thank you. You guys don't have to do that, but you do. Thanks so much. Even if you're just listening to the show and you like never email us or tweet us or anything, you're a lurker. You know what? I appreciate that. You know what? I lurk in a lot of Twitch feeds, so it's fine.
I do too, fairly regularly.
Well, I lurk and then I see Dark Sakura chatting in the side, so I have to go, hi, BB. in chat. Even though sometimes I feel that's disrespectful to the streamer. You know, I got to be careful because I need to say hi to the streamer and then say hi to Jamie.
So. You know what? I think that it just happens because the community has gotten so close that everyone's going to say hi to everyone. So.
Yeah, for sure. That's true. No that's big. True. All right. Let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts for the night and wrap it up. Jamie, I will start with you.
All right. Well, maybe next week we'll find someone else to raid.
Okay.
Since it seems to be a point of contention.
Okay. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I'm looking forward to taking a little bit of a break. At least no more 2 a.m. Minecraft.
Oh, yeah. I was like, taking a break. Don't you have a lot of video to edit?
No. Well, I still have a lot of video to shoot, so it's not even edit, but it's everything.
Yeah. And then my final thought tonight, I don't know. Thank you. Alan's in the kitchen, so I'll dedicate my final thought to Alan, even though he's listening to us. Oh, he gave me a thumbs up. Thank you for getting me the arcade cabinet and indulging in my stupid addictions to these mini cabs and so forth, and buying me snacky foods and soda and whatever else you got at Target. So, all right, excellent. That's it. A shout out to my husband at the end of the show. Aww. All right. That's it. We're going to roll credits. We will see you guys next week. Nintendo, Tuesday. Intellivision, Monday. I'm sure one of those we'll be talking about next week. No, we'll talk about both and other stuff I'm sure that comes up throughout the week. It's going to be another big show next week. Stay tuned. We'll see you in 7 days. Have a great night, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.